The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
What is that? Somebody made a tape of something dying or something.
Turn that crap off! What's going on?
I want this music out of my head.
Hey, turn that off! Turn that off right now!
PFW in Progress with Red Kirsch.
Well, Dick, here's the deal. I'm the best there is, plain and simple. I mean, I wake up in the morning, I piss excellence. And nobody can hang with my stuff. I'm just a big, hairy American winning machine. If you ain't first, you're last.
Paul Perillo.
Shut up in here. I'm trying to sleep. One of you turds is about to get smacked in the mouth.
Hey, stop yelling at me, okay?
And Andy. And Andy?
Hey, Ryder! Drive me!
Please be 18.
Andy Hart.
We were shelving together, Andy. You got payback coming.
Eric Scalavino.
Remember that time we got kicked out of biology for playing with Matchbox cars?
Yeah.
Who's retarded now?
For now, anyway.
My husband Gregory and I wish only for that which every other couple wishes for. To tame Komodo dragons in Sri Lanka.
PFW in Progress. Part of the Patriots Football Network.
Hakuna Matata, bitches.
All right. Welcome to PFW in Progress. We're all here for a Wednesday at Gillette Stadium, and that means one thing, media day and everything that comes with it, press conferences with Tom Brady, Bill Belichick, opposing coaches. We'll have that all on Patriots.com. The coach had his press conference this morning at 9 o'clock. Tom Brady has his as we speak. He kept moving up this morning. I don't know what was going on, but it was like 10:15, and then it was 11. Now it was noon. So he's going on the podium probably right now. And then player availability later today at around 3:30.
Yeah, very late today.
Something like that.
So, I'm wondering if that's going to get moved too.
Yeah. A lot of stuff going on here at Gillette Stadium as the Patriots get ready to travel to the Bills for a very important AFC East game. And I'm liking the Patriots' chances in this one despite Brandon Spike's preseason prognostication that it was – an automatic two wins for the Bills.
I liked Bill this morning. You know, what has he seen from Brandon's? We know Brandon. Yeah. Maybe the hair's a little long.
Right. Bill's press conference, now that you bring it up, was a little interesting this morning. I thought for one reason. Usually when Bill's making reference to a play, you know, how a player is performing and he wants to correlate it to another player, he usually uses players that aren't in the league anymore.
Or says he doesn't like to rank them.
Right. But today, he you know, off the top of his head, mentioned a couple players, Larry Fitzgerald and Julius Peppers, both whom had been on the Patriots radar. I don't know about Fitzgerald, but certainly Peppers.
Yeah.
Fitzgerald's always been mentioned in trade talks for whatever reason. But I just thought that was interesting. And you fans out there, listeners, can draw your own conclusions. But it's out of character for him to compare, you know, a player that's playing – certainly on the Patriots to a team that are about to play, to another player that's playing right now. I just thought it was just curious.
The names certainly popped up. The fact that he referenced other players, Peppers, when he was talking about Mario Williams, and he the Fitzgerald-like in terms of the catch
for Sammy Watkins.
That Watkins made
last week.
That
was a pretty sick catch. Did you see the highlight of that?
Yeah, it was great.
But
yeah.
I agree. It's a little different.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know if it means anything.
I don't know if it means anything either.
Maybe he lost it.
Yeah.
Maybe he's losing his mind.
I don't think that.
Well, you said we could speculate on any way we wanted.
I don't know how you would connect that dot, but all right.
I'm with Fred. Yeah, I agree with you guys. It's a little different for him. You know, how many times has he told, well, you know, I don't really rank him.
But even that went out the window.
I don't get into comparisons.
Suddenly, who was it?
Crap.
Who was in the top 5%?
I don't know.
A couple weeks ago.
Slater? What?
He was asked about a
Slater
player.
Slater talking about the special teams player?
No. It was somebody's growth. Oh, Julian Edelman. His growth. You know, I don't know if he's the best, but he's in the top 5%.
Stephen Neal.
Really?
Was it that one?
You have a top 5%? You tell us you don't rank him. Now you get a top 5%.
Right. Right.
I think that was a little weird. I'm telling you, he's losing it.
Okay. Or maybe he's just loosening up.
Yeah, he seems real loose.
That's one thing that I think. That's a wild and crazy guy.
Anyway, I just something, you know, if you haven't watched Bill Belichick's this morning, it's on Patriots.com. You can. So this is my way of getting people to watch the press conference on Patriots.com.
You know, of course, after we're done.
Right.
You wouldn't want to do it now.
Right. What else? What else do we have on a Wednesday at Gillette Stadium? What's on your minds? Couple transactions of a minor.
Well, Villano's back on the practice squad, as we thought. If he cleared waivers, he probably would be.
Yeah.
They brought back Chris Martin, the offensive lineman, got rid of
Kalen Hauptman.
Yeah.
Who may or may not have been here under my knowledge.
One other just very minor note. We talked about Tompkins yesterday. According to Field Yates and several other reports now, Oakland was the only team that put in a waiver claim for him.
Mm.
So Andy and I were sort of curious to see how much interest there would be. Evidently not much.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, that's the end of his career, unfortunately.
Well, you know, he could be back here. If he flames out there and they release him, you never know.
Oh, no, that's true.
Because Bill clearly wanted to work with him. He said, we'd like to work with him in the future. And they were this close to having their opportunity if Oakland hadn't claimed him. But that's a team. Remember, what's his name got hurt here? The Raiders. So they were down at least
Andre
one.
Hall.
No, the other guy. Streeter. Oh, right?
Rod Streeter.
Got hurt.
I thought you meant former Patriot.
No.
Dre.
Your guy.
My guy. I did like him.
Pat from Agawam writes an interesting email. Usually we don't get into emails right away, but I just figured I'd put it on the table because
Fred hasn't quite set the table.
A week ago, I wouldn't have put any thought to this, but now I'm kind of thinking of it. With McCourty hurt and Champ Bailey available, do you now rethink that and maybe bring him on just in case the McCourty injury lingers and you need some experience depth back there?
I hadn't really thought about it.
I wouldn't. I didn't need safety help.
Well, he's sort of a safety now. He has
now
said,
he is.
Yeah, I know. He's not a safety.
Okay.
I love it when he does that.
I mean, he could be playing his first NFL game as a safety if you want to bring him in. Sure. I thought he had played some safety.
Rod Woodson, you're
toward
not a safety.
The end there.
Ronnie Lott, you're not a safety.
Last year?
Yeah. Hadn't he been playing a little safety?
I mean, we could get into a Bill thing. You know, inside coverage he played, Andy. Could we do that?
Yeah.
I mean, do you agree? I mean, he's a cornerback. He was a cornerback last year in Denver.
Yes, he was a cornerback last year in Denver.
Okay, so we're all in agreement.
He can't play safety or not.
I'm not saying he can't play safety, but he couldn't play corner anymore.
Everybody has said, or a lot of people have said, well, McCourty's hurt, and I know everyone says Browner doesn't play safety, but do you
need him to play? That one, I don't think Browner, you know, can go all over the field like a safety needs to do.
Yeah, his range would be questionable.
Right.
Certainly.
Right.
Because now remember, McCourty's your range safety. He's your free safety.
Yeah.
Right.
So if you're going to have Chung and Browner, retro raggy.
Right.
Yeah. We're going to look like the Bengals trying to cover the middle of the field.
Too slow, guys.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wouldn't be opposed to trying Browner at safety, but not in that role. Not the McCourty safety.
Right.
The other safety.
Yeah. But who's the other safety?
Chung. The physical safety.
No. I mean, if you try
safety.
Browner in the role,
no,
who's
now.
The other safety?
Yeah, and
you
we should.
We got to just listen to Bill.
And we
Bill's told us
out.
All year he loves the depth at safety. Very competitive position. You know, Ebner's played, and he had to, you know, it's really impressive because it's very competitive. He likes the competition. Well, so what's the big deal? We got all this depth and competition.
And
Ebner's
were, out now, too.
And put him out, though.
And there were reports.
If he misses extended time with a finger, then I'll give him the finger.
And there were reports that the injury to McCourty was not not considered to be serious.
Oh, his McRibs are fine?
I mean, don't know if those reports are accurate. They're the same as all the other anonymous reports.
Well, who reported them?
I don't know, after the game.
If it wasn't Karen, I don't believe it.
Well, in all seriousness,
I can't recall.
If it was the Globe, I don't believe it.
It was tweets that came out after the game. I can't remember.
Still waiting for Vollmer to play guard.
Yeah, the only person who comes close to being accurate on injury stuff is Karen Garrigue.
The Herald. The Herald is generally money on injuries.
It's safer to go with the Herald than the Globe. Dangerous to go with the Globe.
Yeah, usually the Herald comes out with it, and then the Globe says, well, it's actually fractured. It's not,
right, it's not broken.
Right.
It's fractured.
Yeah. That's perfect.
And we have a source who has no knowledge of this specific injury, but here's what he said it might look like.
Right.
And Shira Springer will put a little diagram in that
right.
paper.
You know, it's the Mount Sinai Hospital in New York.
Right.
You know.
Globe. Right. Check.
I'll be back in a bit.
Oh, now Paul
Carry
just
on.
Leaves.
Where are you going?
Just goes wherever
I
got to
go and do all access.
I know that, but I just wanted you to say it for the listeners.
Oh, all right.
It's a program.
It's a conversation.
the time changes all over the place of sort of... played tricks with this schedule as well.
Oh, yeah, they're
last week it was better because it was like 11:30. We did all access.
Were you confused whether you were on East Coast time or West Coast time?
I was not confused.
You got the email and it was an East Coast time.
I haven't left
Coast
the time
time
zone, so it's not as confusing not really to me as maybe Geno Smith.
No Sox is scrambling today? Okay. All right, but you'll be back though, Paul, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Now,
good.
Will you be bringing lunch or is Kevin going to go down and get lunch?
If both of you want to do it, that's fine.
Don't be afraid to check in the media room and see if lunch is available.
More is always better when it comes to food. So
that's why we're all fat.
All right. All right, so what else? Anything
not
else?
Not a lot going on.
No?
You know, getting into the Bills a little bit. Interesting. Very good against the run. I believe they're second in the league in rush defense, rush average, yards per game, giving up 3 yards a game, which is different than Patriots have been on a stretch where they were playing bad run defenses. They didn't really take advantage until this week, but there was a stretch there. They were all giving up like 5 yards a carry. That front is obviously pretty good. It's been good for a while now with Mario Williams and, you know, Jerry Hughes has sort of had a resurgence there. Obviously the big guys in the middle, Darius and Williams, Spikes is part of it at linebacker. But, you know, looking at some of the other numbers, interesting that both teams are sort of subpar red zone teams. Patriots, you know, went 50% last week, had to kick 5 field goals, are now maybe 18th, I think it is. And the Bills, I think, are 31st in red zone. So keep an eye out for one of those old football math games. 7 beats 3 every time, whoever can actually punch it in.
Mm-hmm.
Those are some of the things. The pass rush is good. I think they're like 4th in sacks per pass play after, I believe they led the NFL last year with like 55 or 60 sacks.
Yep.
So, you know, that defensive front, even though they lost Kiko Alonso, still a very talented group. You know, I know everything's fixed and the offensive line is fine now, but had this been a week ago before what we saw, I think you'd really be, that Bills front's pretty good. I'm worried about it. So I think that trench matchup is
worth
watching.
Well, I think all the AFC East poses problems up front.
Oh, yeah, but the question is your O-line fixed?
Right.
Are you now a competitive offensive line, or are you the crappy one that started the season?
Yeah.
And you guys all believe it's fixed, and Ryan Wendell is the answer, and he's, you know, the second coming of John Hanna.
Offensively, for the Bills, they got playmakers.
I mean,
Spiller's a playmaker. Sammy Watkins is showing that he can make plays in the NFL.
Yep. Jackson has always been sort of a thorn in the Patriots'
side.
Yeah,
he comes in, and, you know, he's like a streak player. You know, he has his streaks within a game where he'll just knock off a few good runs or short passes that he turns into good gains.
Would you match up? That's a terrible picture. Brady's live on SportsCenter and he's all like, keeps getting pixelated.
Pixelated.
Would you match up Revis this week with Watkins? Is that a?
Yeah.
Is this a matchup?
Oh,
week?
Yeah. Yeah. The seasoned veteran against the rookie. Absolutely. Show him what's what. I would do that.
Okay.
I take him right out.
Bill got a little defensive on the Bills conference call with the Bills media.
Oh, yeah?
Well, they were asking, you know, you matched up Revis more last week with A.J. Green, and he said, well, I don't really know about that. You know, we've played zone and man every game this year. We matched up some earlier.
Bill, he's not going to give him anything. Yeah.
No, I know, but that looks terrible.
I mean, obviously, the Bills want to know if Revis will be one-on-one.
Oh, the guy flat out said that in his follow-up.
Yeah.
You know, we were just wondering if maybe that might be an option for you guys this week, and he said, I'm just saying, I don't really agree with your assessment. Bill, you matched him up last week. He chased A.J. Green all over the field when he was on the field.
Right.
It's the way it worked.
Yeah. And I would think that he's going to do the same with Watkins.
I want him to do it virtually every week. I mean, I guess there might be some circumstances where I think differently, but that's what I want to see.
Who's their tight end now for the Bills?
It's still, what's his name, right? I don't actually know.
Yeah, he's
pretty
good.
Know this. Is it still Chandler? Scott Chandler?
I'm not sure. That's why I'm
asking.
It's
an embarrassment for us. Embarrassment.
Yeah, I got you. I stumped you. Yeah.
Kevin just looks at me instead of Googling it in their depth chart. For Christ's sakes.
He's
tits on a bull. Absolute tits on a bull right there.
All right. We'll get that.
Strippers will get it to us.
I'm sure. I think it is Chandler, but I'm not sure. But they've had success with Chandler with the Patriots.
I didn't get a chance to ask you about this. What did you think about Jim Schwartz being carried off the field in Detroit?
I mean, I think it was kind of a joke. He said before this game, you know, if we beat this team, I want to be carried off the field. And they ended up
you're
doing
a loser.
It.
It's an embarrassment.
I don't care. They're having fun.
Embarrassment.
Yeah, you think so?
Yeah, terrible.
Yeah.
Terrible.
Just making too much out of it, or
yeah, just what are you doing?
Yeah,
what are you doing?
So, So it's okay for you to look at that, but I can't make fun of the coaches running the stairs at Gillette Stadium.
Correct.
I think that's more embarrassing.
I don't.
I do.
Why? Because they work out. Just because you don't work out. Some people like to work out.
They're showing off.
No, they're not. They're working out. Where else would they do stadiums other than in a
stadium?
They
don't have to do stadiums.
Maybe that's their preferred workout.
Why can't they just run on the road or go to
the gym at the hotel? Maybe that's their preferred
workout.
Maybe that's what they do, their routine.
Exactly. It's arrogant.
It isn't arrogant. It's their workout. It's a good workout that they like. Yeah. Why does Mike Lombardi do our stadiums all the time?
So you know what? Next time I go to a meeting, like at a vendor, before the meeting, I'm going to go in the conference room and like start doing sit-ups and push-ups.
But that's not your routine. You've never done a sit-up or a push-up in your life.
Right, because it would be a stupid routine if I did it when I went to meetings. Of course it's not my routine. That shouldn't be theirs either.
Why? Because most coaches don't work out, right?
Plenty of time to do that on your own.
As Paul said, it happens all the time.
Yeah.
It's part of their routine.
I don't like
it. Get a sweat before the game.
I don't like it.
Well, it worked out for you.
Yeah. Look, if you're a player and you want to warm up, you know, do some running, do some stretch. Of course, these are freaking coaches. Coach, your playing days are over, okay?
Okay.
You can work out on your own time.
Go to the phones.
Make a show of yourself here at Gillette Stadium.
You're the only one who cares.
And that's why they lost.
That's why they lost,
arrogant
right?
coaches.
You're an idiot. Go to the phones. We got a blinking green light.
All right. Let's start off with the Ace Ticket Hotline with Justin in Virginia. Hey, Justin.
Did Fred just report that they lost the game because they exercised in our stadium?
Yeah, yep, and I'm very serious about that, Justin. So go with it. Tweet it out, okay? Tweet it out.
But I'm just wondering, just a quick little theory. Do you think that, not saying he's better than Aaron Hernandez, but do you think in big moments, Tim Wright might come up bigger than Aaron Hernandez? Because when he was here, he turned a little bit, and Tim Wright doesn't drop as many passes.
I have no idea how many passes Tim Wright drops.
How do you know?
I agree with you that I was a guy that thought Hernandez was a little soft.
Yeah. Tell me when there's a big spot, and we'll see what Tim Wright does.
I need to see them in the Super Bowl on their own 20 trying to put a drive together, and if he catches it over the middle and Hernandez, I know, drops it and turtled, okay, that's different. Or if he takes a big hit and on the very next play drops the ball, I have a comparison. I have nothing to compare on right now.
There's nothing to me right now that would indicate one way or the other. We just don't know enough about Tim Wright.
Well, I haven't seen him drop a lot of passes.
No.
There is something.
That's true.
He's caught the ball well.
But up until that last year, Hernandez was pretty reliable too.
Oh, no. I questioned him for a couple years. I thought he dropped passes in big situations. I thought after big hits, he would turtle. I questioned I'm laughing at what I was going to say. You know, he lacked a little something that apparently off the field he didn't lack.
Wow.
But Tim Wright, I mean, the reports out of Tampa were that he wasn't catching the ball well, remember?
Yep.
In camp?
Yeah.
And then the Lovie Smith kind of backtracked, whatever.
Right.
But he was saying, well, I could get an H-back who doesn't catch the ball all the time. You can't be an H-back if you don't catch the kind of thing. So he's looked good to start his career here. That's all I can say. I don't have any comp yet.
Right.
He's faster. I think he's faster than Aaron Hernandez. I will make that comp.
You just don't know what a person's going to do in a big spot until they're in it.
Right. And we're a ways from that.
Right.
You know, I mean, you can test it maybe when we get into that stretch of Colts, Denver, there might be drives.
Even Gronk, forget about the knee and all that stuff. But in camp, in terms of catching the ball, everything, it was like a vacuum. Mm-hmm. But, you know, now he's dropped a few, so... You just can't tell until
bullets start flying.
Yeah, I didn't want to use that analogy. No, I mean, everyone uses it. It's just so cliche.
And the one thing you're not, Fred, is cliche.
That's true. Right. You can lead a horse to water, but, you know. All right. Let's go. Web radio happens to be the email address. 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. 855-PASS-500, toll free. Alex writes in, with the glow of that big win still upon us, let me insert some negativity for a moment. Question, are you satisfied or concerned with the pass rush? I'm concerned. We didn't really get that much pressure on Dalton, and our best pass rusher, Chandler Jones, looks limited with injury. Also, I'm concerned with everyone in the secondary not named Revis. Without McCurdy, we have no safeties, and is Dennard reliable enough at that opposite corner? This D could still be a lot better, or can it? What do you guys think?
Oh, I think it can be better. I think it needs to be better. I don't think it's good enough. The pass rush has been very inconsistent to non-existent. You had one sack last week from Chris Jones. Rob Ninkovich has been pretty quiet through 5 weeks here. Hasn't had a great start to the season. Chandler Jones, as he mentioned, dinged up or whatever. His role was a little limited last week. The pass rush is not where I think you hoped it would be, thanks to Revis. I'm not saying they were better. But you know what? I will say they haven't even been better because Dominic Easley, to me, has not been good.
But my thing with Revis is I didn't think that because he was there, you know, all of a sudden Ninkovich would be able to do something he didn't do. I was hoping that because he's there, they take more chances.
Yeah.
But they haven't done that yet.
But they also haven't had a real consistent lineup week to week. Hightower, Collins, Jones, they've had different injuries and minor things, so they haven't really had all their weapons out there.
True.
But I will say the major guy you counted on to make the pass rush better seemed to be Dominic Easley, and I haven't been impressed with Dominic Easley through five games.
Nothing.
I don't see a lot of burst.
Nope.
I see kind of just patty cake up and down the line when he's out there.
Yep. Miami admin writes in, Fred said, we must be missing something. The coaches must know what we know. There is more to it. I don't know what he's talking about. But anyway, he says, maybe not from the beginning. I believe both Andy and Paul said that Devy sucked, yet it took the coaches a whole offseason and two games to come to that conclusion.
Mm-hmm.
You guys said Revis needs to play bump and run. Took them a whole offseason and four games to come to that conclusion.
Mm-hmm.
Now we are on their bizarre use of Chandler Jones, amongst other head scratchers. By the way, from the research I did of about 20 teams, the Patriots are the only team with no coaches that played in the NFL. Also, according to the team website, Coach Googly Amoogly did not play college ball either. Weird or what?
Well, he did.
Yeah.
He played at BU with Paul.
Right.
Not baseball with Paul, but Paul was there. I mean, right. They were at the same time.
Yeah.
And most of these guys, I'm going to say all of them.
They all play college football.
But that's, I mean.
The NFL part, I don't really care about. Really.
Well, I would prefer you have one or two on the staff.
Yep.
I think there is a little something there, a unique dynamic, sometimes an emotion. Those guys are certain alpha male personalities. I'd like to have one of those on the staff, but they don't right now. That's not to say they couldn't at some point. But
it's interesting. It is interesting that no NFL experience.
Yeah, and not even just that. A lot of them are low-level football players in college.
Yeah.
Bill, Patricia,
Josh,
Nick, too. I mean, they're Division III.
Where did Shadow Shea play?
He is a big time.
Oh, yeah?
Houston.
Okay.
He's a Division I player.
Yeah.
Trying to think who else. But they have more lower-level guys even.
Which, you know, doesn't really matter in coaching.
No.
You know, it doesn't really matter. But like you said, it'd be good to have one guy with that experience that can relate.
Can be an interpreter. You know, maybe there's sort of and I think Pepper got in trouble going too far the player side, but, you know, somebody who can be the in-between of the emotion between Belichick, who's not emotional, never played the game, has never had a tackle in the NFL, and Spikes, or a guy like that who's very emotional, it's all emotion. You know, maybe you do need an intermediary, and they don't really have that.
Steve and Colleen says, my hope for the upcoming game for the Bills is best summed up by this quote from the water boy, Bobby Boucher. So that's what's opening up a can of whoop ass feels like. Coach Klein, son, you just opened up a whole can of whoop ass.
Yeah.
I
would like to see them, continue the emotion and the sort of, momentum, because as Paul said, it kind of petered out a little bit against the Bills. Offensively, you were okay, but you didn't have that spark. And they've had struggles in Buffalo. You know, that's the only, they've only lost in Buffalo, and they've had sort of some struggles there. I would like to see them roll. I'd like to see them get, you know, the pass rush, for example. Get after Kyle Orton. Go get him. Knock him around a little bit. Make him look old.
I am hoping not only for cases of whoop-ass being open on the Bills, but truckloads. Patriots Nation, bring the noise and make Buffalo Gillette North. It's time to release the Kraken.
And this is the, what does that mean?
Kraken is a mythical creature that the gods would release when they were pissed off at people.
I believe it's also a roller coaster my wife went on.
Oh, yeah. I think the Kraken is one of the Six Flags roller coasters.
Something, yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting. I don't know if this means anything ownership-wise, but the is it Palookas or Pugluka? What, they took over. This will be their first official game as owners of the Bills.
Oh, right.
They were sworn in or whatever today. Yeah. Took over official leadership. So maybe you get some emotion out of that.
Maybe they
whatever their name is.
Maybe they fire the coach.
No, that's what he's saying. Yeah.
So they are now own the team. It's still Rich Stadium, though, right? until further notice.
It's Ralph Wilson Stadium.
I mean, Ralph Wilson. Why do I call it? It used to be.
It used to be Rich Stadium.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's Ralph Wilson Stadium still?
Yeah, and I would assume they'll keep that until they build a new one. They're trying to find a new stadium. You'd be kind of heartless to rip the naming rights off.
Sure.
Just wait till you get a new stadium and then call it something you can sell.
That's a tough spot. I mean, the thing about building stadiums, it's not so much building a stadium. It's the suites and the club seats and having the corporate foundation in a community to support those. Because most of the fans, they're not going to be paying for suites and
But they might just have to have a different business model there than some other places.
Yeah.
Find a way to make it work with fans, more blue-collar, Joe Average fans, and go that direction, right?
Yeah.
I mean, not everybody is going to have the ability to build, I don't know, 70 suites and, you know, sell them immediately on 10-year contracts for boatloads
of money. But doesn't that help hurt your, competitive?
Certainly. It's not ideal.
Yeah.
It's not ideal. But in the NFL, you can make it work because you get all that TV money lump sum up front.
Oh, yeah. You're in the black right off the bat.
Right.
But to do those extra things for the fans and for your team on the field,
right,
you need that extra revenue.
It's a little bit hard, but, there are ways to, for example, we see these Redskins teams with huge coaching staffs and these coordinators each making, this guy's making $1 million and this guy. Well, Buffalo probably will never be in that standard. They'll probably never have the highest paid coach, the highest paid coordinators, but I think you could find a way to make a business model that'll work there.
Yeah. Certainly, if you are a player or a coach up in Buffalo, you're a god.
Right.
So the quality of life is pretty good if you can live with the snow and all that. But you're a big fish in a small pond up there.
Right. And they will support you. And I think I've always said this, and I know a lot of you, I think as in-bowl experiences go, I kind of have always liked Ralph Wilson Stadium. Like, I think they have a good crowd. I think it's kind of a small set-down in, little Foxborough Stadium feel to it.
Yep.
I don't know what they'll do in terms of how they build a new stadium, how big it is, how many club seats you have and all that crap. But their fan base, that whole Bills Mafia thing, they have a fan base. They definitely have a fan base.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Let's see. Marco writes in. Would you consider making a trade to help solidify the defense in certain areas of need? Maybe looking at teams that are not going to win this year, like Justin Tuck, Antonio Smith, or Charles Woodson from Oakland. There is also Chris Clemens or Red Bryant from Jacksonville. I think Tuck and Woodson could really help the defense. For the offensive line, maybe Eric Winston could be brought in if our tackles continue to struggle. What do you guys think? When is the deadline?
The trade deadline is week 8, I believe, right around week 8.
So it's October
18th? Right at the end of October,
Because we're in week 6 now.
Yeah, it's so in a couple October weeks. Somewhere in there. I need to check that, but I believe that's it.
I think a team really has to be sucking.
Well, the Raiders are out of it. So Justin Tuck, Charles Wood, anybody on the Raiders, and they're going to have a new coach or, they have a temporary coach and there's going to be a regime change. So if they can get some money off the books.
Tuck was a guy that could have been had.
Yep.
In the offseason, and I don't know.
One of those veteran guys we talk about.
I don't know what the interest was in him, but, you never heard any reports, did we, about interest?
I don't believe so. But, maybe you look at what Ninkovich has done and say, he's not quite the same. Maybe we need a little more help there than we thought.
Is Tuck as versatile as Ninkovich?
No, God, no.
Yeah, I don't think he is.
But he's an option. He's a rotational option. He's a pass rusher. He's a guy that could give you some reps. More so than Michael Buchanan or Jake Beckett or these guys. I mean, at the very least, he bitch slapped Nate Solder to put a big hit on Tom Brady, so he's got a little something left in the tank.
Yeah. Andre is from Lame Roo, South Australia.
Lame Roo?
So that means Lame Roo. Lame Roo.
Oh, like kangaroo.
Yeah. He says he's a big fan of the show. You guys make me feel more connected with my beloved Patriots from the other side of the planet. So, big thank you.
You're welcome.
Quickly, on Sunday's game, I don't want to get too excited over the win, even though I was screaming and jumping around my living room. But it puts my mind at ease knowing that when we're fired up, especially Brady, and firing on all cylinders, we can produce great football. Brady wasn't fantastic, but he shared the ball and kept the defense guessing. Gronk was close to real Gronk. Tim Wright was Tim Wright, not Hernandez. Ridley punched it in. Revis shut down their number one receiver, and the O-line stood strong. But the best contributor in the stadium that day was the fans, keeping the team fired up with their chants. And there was a couple of failed third downs where you could see Dalton try and communicate with his teammates and struggling through the noise. Between that and Kraft donating $25,000 for Leia, it was a proud day to be a Patriots fan. My question is actually a scenario. Danny Amendola is rummaging through his basement searching for his playing career when he stumbles across a magic lamp, a genie pops out and grants him one wish, and he decides to wish that every GM in the league falls madly in love with him. The Patriots now have the opportunity to trade Amendola, ignoring money, for any elite player in the league based on what the Patriots need. Which player at which position would you choose? Oh, boy. Points to take into account, he says. We're after what the Patriots need, not just the player you want, such as you can't have J.J. Watt because he's J.J. Watt. I don't know what that means.
Why couldn't I have J.J. Watt? J.J. Watt was one of the guys I was certainly thinking about.
Yeah.
J.J. Watt, Calvin Johnson, Jimmy Graham.
If you choose an O-line player, remember the O-line works as a unit. Would one player coming in make the biggest impact?
Yes, I'm not taking an offensive lineman, so strike that from the record.
Right.
Guys, I mean, I'm thinking about Calvin Johnson.
I would take Calvin Johnson.
Jimmy Graham.
Yeah.
J.J. Watt is in my mix.
Sure.
One of the corners.
Right.
You know, I could take a Patrick Peterson or a Richard Sherman, whoever.
Right.
Now all of a sudden I have the greatest. You're not throwing on me.
Right.
So those are the guys that I'd be thinking of. If you made me pick just one, would you go Calvin Johnson just so you could sort of shut up that he doesn't have any weapons?
I think
take
so.
Away all excuses. Now you Gronk and everybody falls into slots beneath him.
I might also take Sammy Watkins. I mean, he's a young guy who has a great future.
Yeah, that's ridiculous. I'm trying to win now.
I might take Brandon Marshall. Well, no, not Marshall,
that's
but maybe Alshon
too.
Jeffries.
Yeah, I wouldn't. I'm trying to win now. Calvin Johnson's the best receiver in football.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But how old is he now?
I don't care.
Well,
how old's Brady now?
I know.
I'm trying to win now.
Well,
it's a stupid scenario anyway. It's never going to happen. But if I'm picking somebody, well, if you're trying to do that, then you should consider Andrew Luck.
Well, yeah. Yeah, true.
I was thinking about winning now to help this Patriots team.
Yeah.
But if you're doing your scenario.
Well, I was thinking winning now and I get the bonus of they're going to be with me for a long time.
Well, then Andrew Luck would be a serious, serious
sure.
consideration.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I don't know. That may not help you now. You may still.
What about the defensive player for the Panthers that makes every tackle on their team?
No, thank you. I love linebackers, but I think Luke Kuechly's overrated.
You do?
Yeah.
Why?
I think he's good.
Is he on Paul's list, by the way?
Oh, I don't think so.
No?
I mean, he might be. I don't want to speak
for Paul. He's a PC
guy. And he's white.
Yeah.
And that seems like it's a part of Paul's list. But
Paul had a party last night because they had the 30 on 30 show about the gambling thing
yes.
at BC, so he was reveling.
What did he say?
That.
He told his wife, I'm going to go up watch that BC thing. I need a little boost in my spirits.
Right. And I love how ESPN, I don't know if anyone knows what we're talking about, but
30 on 30,
they did a thing on the BC gambling scandal back in, what was it, the 70s?
No, it was the 80s,
oh,
right?
Oh, the 80s. And ESPN spun it. It was interesting on Twitter. They said, you know, watch how, you know, BC helped take down the mafia. Yeah, I don't think.
Because that was their intention.
Right,
it was like all planned. It was
right,
a sting.
It was a
setup.
Big sting, right?
Right.
Idiots.
Yeah.
So let's go back to the Ace Ticket Hotline. Antoine's in Jersey City. Hey, Antoine.
How you doing, guys?
Good.
What's up?
I actually want to speak on two things. And this is coming from a person that played football from the age of 8 years old, playing quarterback position. And who has torn his ACL in high school. And I'm convinced more than ever that I don't think we're going to get the 100% Rob Gronkowski. And that's solely due to, you know, I see him when he makes his jumps at the line and when he makes his burst, it's not there like how he used to be. And I asked this question during all season. I'm like, is it still going to linger in the back of his head about the knee? And I know it's for me when I play semi-pro football now, you know, I still, from time to time, still think about my knee, you know, and how to react sometimes when I make a certain move on the field or something like that.
I think it will always be in his mind. I think it's way too early to say if he's not going to get back to a better level physically. We've seen it firsthand with Wes Welker. Welker was not the same when he came back and then eventually got back to his quickness and his lateral movement. I agree Gronk is not the same right now, but he's not even a year removed from the injury.
But overall, psychologically, for people who have ACLs,
Is there always that?
I think so.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I think Antoine's saying.
I think he'll, but that doesn't mean it's going to adversely affect his play. There's a difference between thinking of it after a play, after a game, and seeing a guy. I mean, the other day, the safety went right at his knee, dove right at his knee.
Yeah, the end zone.
And I'm not sure it really bothered Gronk, so I don't.
Bothered the bloggers, boy. They were all
as it
that.
Should, but it's also what Rodney Harrison said. Everybody will be going for his knee. That's what we do in football, basically. But I think it's way too early to say that it's going to adversely affect him long term. I think we have to wait and see.
Yep.
Okay. And I have one more thing. I'm really thinking that we're gonna make a trade this year. I think we're gonna make a trade this year. I just don't know on what position. And then I'm really intrigued on the O line, trying to get some more depth. Because I mean the tackles. Granted, we had a good game this week, but you know, the one game just doesn't just prove it to me that the problem's solved just like that.
Sure, you got
it. I would love to get another person behind there. You know, hopefully behind the right tackle and try to garner some interest for the guy that was from the Winston guy that was used to play for the I think he played for the Chiefs, I believe.
He did. Yeah, he's out there. He's actually the head of the NFLPA. I don't know if that makes him more or less signable. He's worked out for a few teams recently, but they went. I don't believe anybody really offered him anything. I'm not sold on replacing the tackles. I know they've been bad. But I've seen him be good, too.
Yeah.
I'm sold on trying to fix them, not replace them.
Thanks for the call, Antoine. He also brings up another good point. You know, trades in the NFL, player trades during the season, they're not common. But on this team, we've come to kind of like be open to that idea that it could happen. Because the last two years, he's
addressed the worst need defensively.
Right.
He went and got Aqib Talib. That worked really well. He went and got Isaac Sopoaga. Didn't work at all. But those were the needs at the time, at the trading deadline, and he did it. So what would you, I mean, is offensive line where you target this year?
No. Right now, defensive line.
I think you could argue defensive line. I think you could argue safety, depending on McCourty's McRibs.
Yeah.
I think there's other areas that you could look at.
See what
you know, still weapons. I wouldn't rule out a weapon. You know, just because we got receivers and Tim's is here, all's not. So, you know, if you can get a weapon, I'd add Tom Brady a weapon if I could.
Eric just got in.
Sorry, just taking a drink.
Lots of activity today. You were at Tom Brady's press conference.
Was it Bill at 9 o'clock, yep. Brady at first 10, then 11, then noon.
Right. Yeah.
And then we were treated to a walkthrough just now where most of the guys were there. We didn't get to finish taking attendance. So
wow, just
more wastes of time.
Wow, very upset. Very put out this morning. Very put out. What did Tom Brady have to say?
Very different tone to the questions for him this week as opposed to last
Mike Giardi
week.
Put his big balls away after a good performance.
No, he asked a few questions.
Did he ask if Jimmy Garoppolo, you know, is like nipping at his heels or anything?
He did not, but there was a question from Mike Reese about the energy level that the team came out with, which Brady didn't answer. there was a question about how well they played the other night and how important it is to keep doing that going forward.
That's
really not important, right. Obviously. Just really basic, a couple of...
he's mocking media members.
Pepper and Spikes-related things, which was kind of interesting because it's like, yeah, they already know what we do very intimately, and we know what their strengths are from having...
Is he going to go, 55's a spike?
Oh, I see what you did there.
Well, it's 51.
Oh.
But, yeah, point taken.
No, it's more likely he's going to say, 51's on the field, audible pass, right, over middle.
Tell him what the play is, and he still can't beat
it. Hey, Spikes, it's going to be a pass now because you can't cover.
And then Giardi did ask him about his level of confidence personally. He's like, when things get down, how do you stay so confident? And he said he falls back on experience. I've been doing this a long time. I got a lot of experience, and you got to trust the guys around you and all that. So,
well, that's funny. Really, last week you said we'll see. You didn't say you trusted the guys around you.
Yeah. Well, didn't really get much out of. And he was also late, so it was a very rushed press conference.
Late? What is late?
Well, it's supposed.
If you don't know when it starts, then you're not late.
Well, when it was agreed that it was finally going to start at noon, and then it started at about 9 minutes past noon, and then it was a hard
12:15, he had to get out of there
to
get to practice.
Any explanation why it kept getting moved back this morning?
No.
No?
Oh, I know why. See, he had a good game, so he now gets to have input in the offensive game plan again, so it ran a little longer. He's been free the last few weeks because they didn't let him make any changes.
So that was it? That was the extent of the questioning?
Well, yeah, we only literally had
it was
five minutes, and we had to go.
Okay.
To go see a walkthrough that we didn't get
and
to finish.
And Paul's back, too.
Yeah.
How was that shoot?
That was good.
Yeah. All right.
Talk a little about Brady on the shoot.
Good.
Are these the
shoots and ladders?
Final 11 games that we'll be seeing? Tom Brady in the Patriots uniform?
That's what you talked about?
That was.
Ask Fred.
Really?
Wow. It depends what day you ask him.
Right. Or what time. What time of day you ask
him. The other day he would have said yes. Today he said 3 more years.
Before or after he has his meds, you never know.
Right.
Well, you know, the information comes in and
can
conditions
I get an
on the ground change.
Is what? This the final season of Tom Brady in New England?
No.
How many more?
3 more.
Okay. So that's the official Fred Kirsch.
Plays out the contract.
So 3 more as in he plays
all
out
the
way
contract.
To the end?
Yeah.
Then you have to re-sign Garoppolo if you want to.
No chance.
No chance.
No chance.
Okay.
There is no
chance. I got to tell you, that's what I would have thought would have been the case on draft day, but I no longer believe that's going to be the case. I don't think he's going to play out the contract.
I have. I tend to agree with Paul.
October 2015.
I don't know if it'll be that soon, but...
Now it's that soon. Earlier this week, people were running him out of town this trading.
I wasn't running him out of town this week. Last week, whatever.
Ben Volen had him breaking NFL rules and trading him in week 16.
He did.
I know, I like the shot, though.
I also want
to... let's go to Dan in Virginia on the A Stick and Hotline.
Kevin's got to go down and get it. According to my ground sources, it wasn't quite out yet.
Okay.
Sup.
All right.
Good day, Dan.
I got two questions. I was just wondering if you guys were concerned that the reason your profile nationally hadn't grown was that you had too much of a willingness to stick to the facts and just didn't write complete.
I'll go with that. We're hurt by being professional. Absolutely. It works for me.
I'm involved in that?
I don't think we're hurt by being professional.
I'm certainly
we're
not.
The opposite.
Yeah.
Right. We're hurt by the fact that we don't blank enough blank and...
Is
pat
that part,
everybody on the back.
Is that part of the professionalism that's holding us back?
You move up in this world by blank and blank.
No, but I think Dan was also saying you also get attention in this world by not sticking to the facts and, you know, wild speculation,
right.
Unknown
sources.
We
do that all the time on this show.
Well, we kind of do, but we don't write it and then cite unknown sources.
We had Darrell Revis coming here long before he ever came here when there was no reason to believe he was coming here. Right?
Right.
Thank you.
Just because, just because it ended up happening doesn't mean that we were right for speculating it was going to happen.
But, yeah, we'll go with
that. Well, also, we're a very, you know, regional-based, one-team-based show, so...
We're not regional. We're international.
Well, no,
we just got an email from Lame Lou Australia.
But our listeners are within Patriots Nation.
Lame Roo Australia.
Know, there's no reason, really, to have a national audience for this show.
Not a street.
I think we're also hurt by the fact that we do work here because the perception is that they work for the team. They obviously aren't part.
Right.
You know, they're
You guys are making fun of me all the time for being a homer,
right?
Well, the other thing you might want to try is patting yourselves on the back for pointing out the bleeding obvious. But
right,
the serious question
felt like a shot.
No. What he's saying is a lot in the media pat themselves on the back for pointing out the obvious.
Yeah. Well, I gotta be concerned. I pat myself on the back all the time, so that's
not
where
I'm
failing.
No one would.
Exactly. Dan, did you ever hear that postseason where I picked every game perfectly accurate?
Oh God.
Oh, I've got a monument to it here in my in my office there, Andy, along with the world's biggest bust of someone's head.
I'm not sure if I ever told you I thought Robert Quinn was going to be a good player. Now he's a $60 million, used to be last year, $60 million player. This year
Blind
stinks.
Squirrel finds a nut.
Sackless player.
Okay.
Although, Janine, I don't know. What's
up? Question, though. Logan Ryan, I know some of you guys weren't as high on him as a lot of the fans were and a lot of other commentators were, but even allowing that you guys didn't hold him as high regard as a lot of us did, his play has dropped off, it seems, this year. And
why? Because balls have stopped hitting him in the chest? Because that's really all he ever did, was balls hit him in the chest.
Oh, come on. He made some great plays in the ball. But anyhow.
Oh, come on. Show me three.
Even allowing...
You never go one there, just in case there's an outlier.
But anyhow, even allowing for I would think even in your estimation, he still has dropped off this year from where he was last year, correct?
No. I think he's the same guy.
Okay.
I mean, what's he done? He hasn't played a boatload. He has struggled at times, and I thought he struggled at times last year. He would look better if he had a larger interception total next to his name, like he did last year. Right?
Okay. Well, I mean, I kind of agree a little bit with Dan.
I'm argumentative.
I don't think... And
you're just hungry.
Dan's right. I don't think as much of him as a lot of my fellow colleagues.
Well, I don't think anybody in this room was ever on the Logan Ryan train.
No, I don't mean you guys. No. I mean...
No, but he said, I think a couple of you guys. I'm pretty sure all four of us. Fred, yeah, I don't want to talk for you, but...
Fred, you were...
Did you ever buy into Logan Ryan as an ascending corner? Do you remember that phrase was being thrown out there? Before we had Revis, after Tlaib left... There were people writing, well, you got Logan Ryan in ascending corner.
Yeah, I never
ascending
came out,
up what?
I never came out and said he wasn't, but I was always quiet during those conversations.
That's because you were screening emails.
Speaks volumes. Right. His mom once told him, if you don't have anything nice to say about a Patriot,
but I did
wait till
up,
they leave.
During the preseason when he was, I thought he really struggled in the preseason games, and Andy and I would talk in our little studio, and we brought up
that's Bob's discount.
Is this
studio.
The next guy, the next defensive back that sort of comes in and doesn't have a great rookie year, but makes some plays as a rookie and seems to regress? And I kind of agree with Dan. I think he has regressed a little bit.
That's what I was getting at, Paul. That's what my question was. Why is it? And it really seems to be the cornerback specifically where we've had the Pets have had some great guys come in like McCourty, who have really done well in their rookie year, and then the second year, who've just taken a big drop off.
I think Darius Butler was one of those guys. Again, not a great rookie year, but sort of drops off a little
I think
bit.
It's like pitchers and base. You get some film on the guy, and now you start, you know, the second time around, you're game planning, and you say, you know what, let's go at this guy. Let's test him a little bit.
It might
more.
Be as simple as that. Yeah.
Or they make him think too much.
Yep.
Yeah, that's
something
kind of
as complicated as that.
They put more on his plate. And,
I mean, you've talked about this, that the idea of Seattle maybe does one thing and then runs to the ball. Maybe when they get here, they don't know what they don't know, so they just kind of play.
Right.
And then they start to know what they don't know, and that slows them down.
Is that what you're kind of getting at, Dan?
That's kind of what I'm getting. I'm just wondering if it's kind of like the offense system is apparently so complicated that a lot of guys have trouble picking it up, that maybe that's what the defensive scheme is true, and these guys come in, and as Andy just said, the first year they're kind of going on talent and what they've done previously, and then kind of the more they absorb.
I've heard both when it comes to the defense. I've heard guys say it's very complicated, but I've also heard guys like Aqib Tlaib say it's just defense.
But that specific comment, Dan, that you just made has been told to Andy and I off the record by various defensive backs, most of which are not here anymore, but I'm still not going to tell you who said them.
And most of which didn't go on to have stellar careers anyway.
Exactly. And that was my qualifier was it seemed to be excuse-making at the time.
Oh, interesting.
But
because there'd be a better argument if you could list me three defensive backs, you know, Patrick Chung, Terrence Wheatley, and Butler. If they went out and were really good, you go, why are they good?
And I wouldn't say really good. I would say Butler is gone.
Starting quality.
Now, he's having himself at least an NFL career in Indianapolis. It took him a while. He went to Carolina first and didn't do anything there. Wheatley has never really been heard from. I think he went to Jacksonville.
Yeah.
Didn't really stick there.
Gone.
Sterling Moore is still in Dallas. I don't think he's a great
player.
Really? Yeah. What about that other guy that went to Denver?
Philip Adams, I think.
Yes.
No.
Tony Carter
has had a decent little career, but
he
never really got to play though.
The Auburn guy who was our slot corner.
Oh, Will Hite.
Him.
I don't think he ever.
I don't think he really did anything. No, the Tony Carter guy though.
Tony Carter actually plays for the Broncos.
But those guys are a little different in a different class because they're like
they haven't had anybody that's gone anywhere else that.
I mean, Sterling Moore, we got him from the Raiders, right, as like a practice squatter, bottom of the... I'm talking about guys that were here who were supposed to play here.
Yeah, drafted.
Wheatley, Butler, Chung, Will Hite,
Dowling.
Those guys. Dowling.
Yeah, Dowling.
You know, these other guys
The only one who's a legitimate NFL player out of that bunch to me is Butler.
Yeah.
And
how about Sergio Brown, his special team?
Mm. Yeah. He is what he was here.
Yeah.
The worst player in the National
Football
League.
No, he's a competent special teams player.
He will go down in history as having ruined Rob Gronkowski. Plain and simple.
He was the reason why
he's the reason why Gronk broke his arm the first time, and that led to all the other stuff.
He ran through the arm, right?
Yeah. That's what he'll be known for.
Will you be more inclined to agree with Fred on this one, then?
I'm sorry, I missed that.
What did I say?
He was silent during the conversation.
He was saying it's more the other teams could film and they know how to play the guy better.
Oh, guys get exposed.
I think that might be part of it, but like I said, Andy and I have had some of the defensive backs in the past sort of talk to us about, I think the way they put it, Andy, if I recall, was you come in and you're allowed to use your athleticism and you have a you know, what you're playing off your ability and your instincts, and they sort of beat that out of you. And rather than relying on your ability, you're relying on the scheme and playing to the
McCourty's the
to that stuff,
the prime
and you don't play as quick because you're thinking is too much.
McCourty is a first round pick as a cornerback, had what, 7 interceptions his first year,
something like that.
Pro Bowl season.
He had a very good rookie year,
and
it wasn't just the ball was thrown to his chest.
Right, second season started out as a cornerback and just was not the same guy.
Correct,
and it's not like they didn't throw at him. He had his opportunities, and he just...
Oh, they threw all over him.
Right, they threw all over him, and he just couldn't keep up. So, to me, that was a case where, you know, they saw the film. You know what? He's not as good as those interceptions say he is. You know? Let's not stay away from this guy.
So, remember?
Anyway, thanks for the call, Dan. Good topic.
I do think the defensive back thing is an interesting topic. I wish I had a definitive answer for it, but I do think that's something that has periodically been an issue over the years.
And it doesn't help the coaching situation where sort of unproven changing roles in the back end with corners and safeties, and Patricia's back there, then he's not back there, Boyer, the other guy, Flores.
And coincidentally, it's the similar problem on the opposite side of the ball there, the wide receiver spot.
Yeah. They've gone through, if you really look close, they've gone through a lot of secondary coaches on this team, don't you think?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but they've been with this group has been together for a little bit.
Yeah, been a few years now.
But they had Collier back.
I think starting in 09, there was some unrest. And remember, I think before they brought in Corn Brown, they thought maybe he.
Yep.
Then he.
That didn't work.
even what's his name?
I think he's still penned up in that house, right?
Even what's his name? The former Dom Capers, wasn't he technically secondary
well, he was
one
like
of those
defensive consultant or something.
I believe
like
he
that.
Was in charge of the secondary the one year he was here.
Yeah, but yeah.
08.
Yeah.
And so there was a lot of transition back there.
Yeah.
You know,
hasn't always been good. And Eric's right. I mean, receivers similar. It's funny, you can't develop receivers either. The one flaw is we haven't even really had any receivers that came in and played well, and then didn't develop.
They Capers was special assistant secondary. Yeah, that's the difference to me, and it's definitely accurate, but the wide receivers don't come in and make some plays as rookies, the way, you know, Devin McCourty did.
Right.
And we haven't had any rookie receivers really do that since Deion Branch. Right?
Like even Patrick Chung, I think a lot of people thought more of Patrick Chung earlier in his career than
it ended up playing out.
He
was just a guy that, you know, very physical, but got hurt all the time.
But that goes back all the way to Eugene Wilson, too. Everybody thought he was on, like, this all-pro, Pro Bowl, Hall of Fame track because he was good as a year one guy.
Yep.
And then petered out.
And I do think part of that is perception. Because I think that when you come in and you watch a guy like Darius Butler, you focus on, oh, you remember that pick six he had against Houston where he jumped on the slant route and he was gone? And what an athlete.
Mm.
And, yeah, he got beat on that, but that's a play he'll make. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
Or Logan Ryan, I think, is a very...
Against the Jets.
Logan Ryan doesn't like to give a lot of cushion. He plays very physical, and he plays pretty aggressively. And you're like, yeah, he got beat on that, but I like the way he played it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's not giving the cushion. He's not just surrendering a 12-yard completion
on
third down. The problem is, in year two and year three, when you're still physical and you're still giving up the completion...
Mm.
You're not just a cute little rookie anymore playing tough. You're giving up completions.
Right.
I think you look at the same play differently after a guy who's been around for a couple of years.
All right, food's here from CBS Scene. We've got some pizzas. We're going to eat that and take a break. When we come back, Christian has an email. He's got a problem with Paul. We'll get to that right after this.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go.
That's it. Come on. Kick it into hyperdrive. Touchdown! Ha ha!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call *NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time. 2% cash back on groceries and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or tri-corner hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of dominance. The success of the sleeveless hoodie, 3 Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Arizona. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square, across from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
Xbox One is not only a game console, but the home entertainment system every fantasy football fan needs. The NFL on Xbox One is your connection to all things fantasy, giving you personalized news, highlights, stats, and scores instantly on your TV. Watching your favorite team play on Sunday, but wondering how your fantasy players are doing? With built-in fantasy football, track your updates on TV in real time across NFL.com and multiple fantasy leagues, all while still watching live games. Xbox One, bringing fantasy football to life. Now available for $3.99. At a Microsoft store near you.
Here's another great moment in PFW in Progress history.
I got a Dodge disappointment. I have a new primary because my old one changed. And I had sort of an arrangement with my old doctor, you know.
Don't ask, don't tell.
You know, like my cholesterol probably could use a little help. You know, and it's like, Paul, you really need to, you need to lose a few pounds. And we had this sort of arrangement. We're okay with that. She knew that I wasn't really going to try to lose a whole lot of weight. But, you know, as long as I, sort of pretended to make an effort, now I got to see a different doctor today.
Uh-oh.
And I'm afraid I'm going to get read the Riot Act.
She's going to say, your BMI is 72, sir.
Really? Based on our calculations here, you should be dead. That's what I'm a little worried
your
about.
Your blood diet Pepsi levels are all off.
Yes.
Right.
I'll see you guys tomorrow.
I hope you make it.
All right. Goodbye, Paul. Let's finish up. Yep. This is it. This could be it.
It was a privilege knowing you, Paul.
Oh, my God.
Wouldn't that... But it's funny, sort of, but, like,
It's not real.
The whole thing in medicine is they want to catch things early.
Right!
He's got kids now.
He could find out that had they actually looked, he was dying 10 years ago. Right. Now he's got 3 months.
I agree.
They kind of know I'm not going to try to do anything.
And isn't his wife a nurse?
Yes!
Yeah, she should be pushing him.
I would be like...
I don't think she wants to know either.
No, I would add stress to her.
I would be strapping him down and wheeling him in to try to...
She's given up. It used to be every February, she would put him on some sort of diet, but she gave up.
Yeah.
I mean, if you just do like a very unofficial survey, like you go to a nursing home, there are no fat men in nursing homes.
No, I agree with you.
It's just not. You don't see fat old men.
That's another great moment from PFW in Progress.
Finish this the right way.
21 gun salute for Paul.
All right, back here in PFW in Progress.
Yeah, I gotta say it again.
What?
This guy.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's a funny bit, and then he goes, you know, it's funny, but it's kind of not.
Right.
You know, like, there's a serious part of all of this, like, you know.
He grows a conscience halfway through.
I'm on death's door.
Right.
You know, it's kind of funny, but it's not. You know, and Beth has given up.
Right.
You know, she used to put him on a diet every once in a while. This guy.
He's relentless.
Yep. Now she's just looking for the insurance.
He's a bully. All right.
He's a bully.
508-298.
No, you're the bully.
People
called you Richie Incognito yesterday.
That's true.
Who are you bullying?
You.
Yeah.
I was trying to get you to talk about your girlfriend.
I wasn't here yesterday. What are you talking about?
No, back a long time ago, somebody who hadn't emailed in a long time said the last time I emailed, I asked Eric about his girlfriend, and he wouldn't answer, and then Fred tried to make him answer.
Fred turned into Incognito for 5 minutes and bullied him.
You actually just cleaned that up even more. What the guy said was, the last time I emailed in, I said, Eric seems like he's getting in a good mood. Is he suddenly getting some or something?
Right.
Sadly. Yeah, I was very complimentary to you.
Who was?
I don't know.
Oh, the guy, the email.
Whoever the emailer was on your side. Oh. It was sort of ripping Fred for being incognito-like.
Right. Because you wouldn't talk about your girlfriend.
Nothing to talk about.
What is he, Manti Te'o?
God bless you, Andy.
So webradio @patriots.com is the email address. I mean, is the... no, that is the email address. 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket hotline. Before the break, I said that Christian had an issue with Paul... I'll get into that email. He says...
Which Christian is this? Denmark?
This is someone from... he's in college, this Christian.
Oh, so it's not.
I thought
Chris
it was
with
the
T-I-A-N.
Christian.
No.
Not
he should have known because
he'd
call and talk to
plus
you.
Plus, he
face
didn't
to
say
face.
Chris with a T-I-A-N.
He says, I have a couple questions for Paul after this great win. One, Paul has been known to say injured guys don't get healthier as the season goes on. Well, I don't know about... I don't know what about you... But I thought Gronk looked a lot healthier this week than he did 2 weeks ago or even 4 weeks ago. Does he still think players can't get healthier as the season goes on?
Largely, yes. I would agree that Gronkowski looked better in this game than he has in any of the others.
Okay, so he cites that as proof that people can get healthier as the season.
I think this was a big game for everybody, and there was a lot of extra effort put forth.
So look for regression from Gronk, according to
Paul. I didn't say that.
What?
I would... Stand by my point that largely, in general, NFL players get banged up
healthy
as seasons go along.
Sure. Does Tim Wright still not move the needle as a tight end? I never had a problem with the Mankins trade if the O-line holds up this season.
He doesn't move my needle as a tight end.
Doesn't move your needle.
No.
We're so immature. And three.
So there's no chance he'll move your needle?
No. If he does consistently what he did Sunday night, then I'm... not going to sit there and say, no, he's not really good.
So there is the potential for him to move your needle.
Well, sure, I guess. If I see things that I have not seen yet, yeah.
Well, you did see it for one game. You just said that.
But I've seen 5 games, and I've seen very little from him in general.
But it was his first 4 games.
Admittedly, I'm going to talk to him in a couple hours
his
in the locker room.
His preseason just ended.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
And do you still see the Patriots at the 12-14 because things always work out for Tom Brady and Bill Belichick?
I might have to lower that a little bit, but not much.
Okay.
Not much. And it's not because things always work out for Brady and Belichick. I know you hate when I say this, Fred, but I don't think there's a lot of good teams. Right. I think the Patriots are one of the few good teams.
Thanks, guys. The Pats are back, baby. No more doom and gloom. 9-7 emails and calls. So there.
But I can't say they're going to go 12-4?
What?
He got mad at me for saying they're going to go 12-4, and he says no more 9-7 gloom and doom. I'd never said they were going 9-7.
No.
Nobody.
I think he's saying overall. There were a lot of people who called up and emailed last week.
I believe you might have.
Yeah.
You made me.
Yeah.
You forced me into it.
What's the record you're most associated with now?
More like 10-6. I'll be in defense of Andy. It was more like 10-6.
What about now?
I'm not totally removed from 10-6.
Okay.
I need to see more.
All right.
Unlike you, one does not wipe out four.
And Eric believes the window's shut, the moat has been built around it, there's no chance of ever getting back to winning ways, right?
I said that several years ago. I think.
I know. And you're sticking with it.
I would if I were him.
I've been proven right
so far.
I've been proven right.
I believe
for 9 years.
Just before they got to the Super Bowl, you said that.
He said they're not winning the Super Bowl.
2011.
Championship window has closed, he said.
Okay.
I believe that is what you said.
Mm-hmm.
As ridiculous as it is stick with when they, you know, were in the Super Bowl.
They were a minute and one away from winning said Super Bowl. But
I would stick with them, too.
They didn't win it.
They didn't win it. Bottom line is, a team that used to close didn't close.
Right.
So he's right. The window was closed.
Nori from Phoenix.
They didn't close.
Hey, guys. I've been an active listener.
What was this one?
Nori from Phoenix.
Nori.
I like that.
I've been an active listener, emailed a few times.
How do you spell that?
Have never been read. N-O-R-E-E.
Nori.
I want to hear your thoughts on Brandon LaFell in regards to his performance, production, and reliability. Has he lived up to his 3-year, $9 million contract, in your opinion?
No, not even close.
But luckily, he's not 3 years into it. I mean,
right.
He could be better.
Right. I don't think he's been great at all with catching less than half his targets. His offensive penalties were costly as they took away from first downs made from other receivers. When he gave up on finishing his route on that deep ball on Sunday Night Football, I felt that may have caused Brady to lose some trust in him. Those are a couple of examples how I feel he's a Jag.
Down the Bengals sideline, he just stopped running. And you said that he was looking like...
Oh, he was trying to draw the penalty.
Yeah.
He knew he had no chance to get to the ball. He was trying to draw the penalty.
Right.
Heady.
Bad play.
Yeah.
If you're going to try to draw a penalty, you
just keep running.
Yeah.
That's not what Amendola did. I mean, Edelman.
It is what Edelman does. He starts flailing his arms up and down, and he continues to run down the side.
He does do that. It's kind of funny to watch.
Right. He did it against Kansas City.
He actually looks like
even Fred was mad.
He's begging for the flag while while he's still trying to make the catch.
Even Fred was mad at him.
Yemi in Texas wants to know, how does the Patriots press box compare to other teams' press boxes, and what do you guys think of the various viewing experiences?
Well, they're all going the Patriot way, which is
similar. Yeah.
Not old school, which was old school, was 50-yard line, good view.
Yep.
Now it's corner, bad view.
Most of them are high and generally toward a corner.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
There are some, I can't fault them.
There are some that are very high but still at midfield. I think the new Jets one is that's
– the Giants-Jets are midfield pretty much.
It's sort of
right?
the same as
but
it's always
very high.
But it's
very
so big high. That you one end of the press box is like at the 20. The other end is at the other 20. Right. So only a few people.
Where was the last place we were at?
Kansas City.
Was really steep. New. And they used to be, like Buffalo, right, 50-yard line, low. But now it's very, very high.
Oh, you're going to get a new one this week. Buffalo.
Yes,
they
we are.
Yeah.
Oh, you don't get that beautiful.
They were a
that
really
was the
good
best one.
They were a low midfield.
Yeah.
They were sort of like our broadcast booths.
That was the best one.
Now I think Tennessee actually has the best one. They're kind of like Buffalo used to be. They're very low and close to the 50 there. But the thing I'm more concerned about is the Buffalo visitors' locker room.
Oh, that's tough.
If they've changed that, because supposedly they made an enormous new home locker room
right.
for them. They have the new press box, but that was the worst locker room in the NFL. Hopefully it's changed.
Tough. Siobhan writes in, love the show. Do you think we'll see Brown or Man up with Watkins on a few plays this week? Also,
oh, good God, no.
I can't wait to see Vereen burn spikes on a wheel route.
And then not catch.
Just hope he makes the catch, yeah.
You laugh.
Yeah.
Browner on Watkins.
That's, Paul, that's a bad matchup.
That's a
I don't want to see wide receivers on him.
No.
Yeah. Think Browner will play?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think Browner will play this week.
A role. I don't think he'll start, but I think he'll play a role.
I was a little surprised that he didn't play last week.
Yeah,
me too.
He wasn't activated last week.
Me too.
A little, not shocked, but a little
saved
surprised.
Saved money. $150,000.
Patrick from Minnesota, I have a quick question on something that I may be completely wrong about. I love the Brady chance during the Sunday game. I think it meant a lot for TB12 and the team. Before this season, I used to hear Bill say all the time that there's not another quarterback he would rather have for his team. I haven't heard that lately. It just seems strange that Bill would take the time to make a formal statement to support a very fringe player like Dobson when the majority of the football world, especially Mort, is attacking Brady. Any thoughts? Thanks, guys. As usual, your insight and humor help make the middle of the workday fun.
I'm pretty sure he said it like week two or three.
He did say it early.
He has said it this season. In the regular season, he has said it.
Now, I did find it a little bit interesting that he addressed the Dobson thing and not the Brady thing.
But we talked about this.
And Fred sort of was surprised when he did address the Dobson thing that it sort of established a precedent that leads to this, leads to an email like this. Why not for Brady? I don't have the answer to that.
Because Brady is not a poor little guy whose career is in the balance. He can defend himself. His image defends himself.
Yeah, and I do think it's different, but you know, when he talked about it on WEEI on Patriots Monday, he said that, you know, he wasn't going to get into anything with Brady, you know, anonymous sources.
Right.
What are they? What right. is that? Well, that's exactly what the source was in the Dobson thing. It was an anonymous
source. Did anyone ever ask Bill, though, a pointed question like, does Tom have
Not generally.
The same amount of input in the offense that he's always had? No one really
asked
that.
I don't think
anyone's
ever asked that. No.
And that would have been his opportunity to say, of course he has, you know. But no one asked that specific question. You know, see, with the Dobson thing, it was one issue. It was, did he have an altercation or did he didn't?
Right.
With Brady, it was a lot of stuff. So, you know, Belichick's not going to start checking off what was wrong and what was right. Not going to get into that.
Right.
That's true.
You know?
That's true.
So.
Yeah, there's a lot more at play than just a simple incident. You know, there are the input in the offense. There are his feelings on various personnel moves.
Right.
Feelings on coaching moves.
Right.
Feeling on the offensive line. Feelings on, does he want to end his career here? Does he not want it? I mean, there's like six different subjects you'd have to address.
Right. Sex. Plus sex.
Is that one of them? Always on his mind. You notice he's talking about Brady, too.
Yeah.
So. Huh? Josh from Waterloo has an interesting question. How heavy is the football?
You.
Just asking because Bolden can run down the field and be the first to make contact and create a fumble on a kickoff, but when Brady hands it off to him, it's like he has a plow hooked up.
How heavy is the football? I like it.
Eric,
I like
smells
it.
Like a football thing you don't care about. What's it actually weigh?
I like it.
Yeah, it's inflated to that 13 pounds.
Something like that.
But it's not 13 pounds.
Now, it would also matter the elevation, right? Because the atmosphere
Denver,
pressure.
It would be different, probably.
Plus, what gas? I mean, if you put helium in it, it'll weigh a lot less.
Sure.
Thought you weren't allowed to use helium anymore for things. I thought there was like a helium shortage.
There is a helium shortage. The price has gone up, and sometimes it's hard to find those tanks that you fill balloons
really?
With.
I didn't
know
that.
Oh, yeah. And it's a finite
material.
Material. Yeah. There is going to be a point where there's no more helium.
No more balloon?
Really?
So you can't suck it in and make your voice all high-pitched like you like to do.
I didn't know that.
That was good. There was a suck it in all kind of joke, and he turns it on you.
Let's go to the Ace Ticket Hotline. Dan and Harriet's on the line. Hey, Dan.
What's going on, gentlemen?
Sup.
Hey, Dan.
Hey, so, wow, this team, right?
Yeah, I hear you, bro.
I got to tell you, when the game started, I was already, I was going to have a rant loaded and ready for you guys, but the game just kind of played out the one specific way that it needed to, where I guess I got to table that what's in the best interest of the team discussion.
So you sound disappointed that your team came out and kicked ass.
No, not at all. I mean, I'm definitely optimistic about it. But fortunately, I actually have another rant loaded and ready, courtesy of Pat's Nation again.
Good, go.
So I heard you guys, a couple guys calling in and emailing saying they're like, oh, looks like all the people who are talking crap about the team are just bandwagon fans. They're back on it now, and let's get some real fans in here. Two responses to that. A bandwagon fan is somebody who doesn't pay attention to the team at all unless they have a chance of winning the title. So that's misusage of the term, which makes you an idiot. And B, shut up.
I like it.
Nobody tells me that I'm a bad fan because I decided to speak up when I'm not getting my money's worth.
A lot of unrest. What is going on in 2000?
No, that's true. That is a misuse of the word word bandwagon.
Mm-hmm. Now, I've been listening to your guys' program for 6 or 7 years now, and I feel like 95% of the people who call in with criticisms, they have very valid and intelligent points to make. Now, how that happens, your guess is as good as mine, considering the subject matter that's frequently talked about on this program.
Oh, screw you.
But
I missed that.
I think when we are making criticisms, it's not because, like, nobody calls in and says, oh, this, that, and the other thing sucks, so I'm not watching the team anymore, you know? We call in with criticisms because it hurts us when we see a team that we've loved for many, many years looking like it's falling apart at the seams, and the solutions look like they're right there to be had, but nobody's doing anything about it, and this feels like we're powerless to do anything except speak our minds. Now, feel free to not comment.
You can also speak with your wallet.
Yeah, that's what I'm getting to. Feel free to not comment on this, considering we signed your checks.
Yeah.
But we like to pile on the crafts for not spending money on the team, or enough money on the team. But I can't give them too much of the blame, because they're really just doing what businessmen do. And when your fan base is just 100% behind you and not taking it to task when you do something bad, it's not in your best interest as a businessman to overextend yourself or take risks, because you've already got the targets you want. Now, I think it was Olivier that said, you know, oh, there's a lot of piranhas in the media, or piranhas. I'm sorry, I'm trying to do my best Olivier impression. But I think how the team responded, especially in the press conferences, is indicative of the fact that those piranhas were very effective to a degree. So I say we need more piranhas, guys. I mean, this is a very good win, and it means they're back on track, but if they start tipping down again, we got to get right back on top of them, because if you don't respond with your wallet, if you don't say anything, you're part of the problem too. This is their team, but it's also our team. And that's my rant. Hope you guys have a good day.
All right. Thanks, Dan.
Okay. That was good.
Yeah.
It's the Boston Bruin fan rant of the old days. You know, sure. If you keep going and you keep banging the place out every night, they're not going to realize that what they're doing isn't good enough.
Thank you, Robert.
I think that, it's interesting, you know, when you become a sports fan here and you start following a team, people don't speak out. In Europe, like for these EPL teams, I mean, those fans, I mean, they're as rabid as anything, but they are vicious.
They really ride the roller coaster.
Oh, my God.
It used to be like that here, but, you know, look at the last 15 years.
Yeah.
All four of our teams have just been
good. That's the thing. I mean,
Plus, they fight in Europe.
Yeah, you know,
they actually, like, have hooligans.
I'm not condoning that sort of behavior.
I think when, you know, for this team, when you look at the hiccups that they've had so far, to me, it's ludicrous to start making these blanket statements about Kraft being cheap or Belichick doesn't know personnel. How can you say that when you look at the body of work? Now, if it continues for another few seasons, okay, maybe they're losing touch or whatever, but obviously no team is going to be perfect every year, and, you know, this team included. So to make those type of blanket statements for that team that some fans make, it's just crazy to me.
Do you think, well, let me tell you what I think. I think it's human nature that once you achieve something, you're not quite as driven to achieve it again. I think it's just human nature, complacency. So I don't think, if the Crafts had never won a Super Bowl, I think there would be a different feeling, mindset.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know that it would lead to all these major changes and we would spend this money and get the, but I just think it's human nature when you achieve a certain goal, the drive to do it isn't quite the same.
But on the other hand, having achieved that goal should prove, and doing it more than once should prove to people that they kind of know what they're doing.
Sure.
Right? It's like these young players. Well, until Tim Wright kind of does it in a big spot, we don't know he can do it in his. But this team has done, not, you know, the players, but the their philosophy has worked.
The only problem,
you know,
with that.
So because they went 2-2 and got blown out, should we all of a sudden say, they don't know what they're doing?
Oh, no.
But
no,
that's
no.
What some fans are doing.
But just because they've won, like, I think the Red Sox are a prime example of they won. But they also have bungled things as bad as any owners.
Yeah, but they went from winning to going to last place.
No, I know,
but
it's a different sport.
It's a different kind of thing. But I, to Andy's point, I agree with you, Fred, when the people make the blanket statements and they say, oh, they're not willing to spend the money. They're not willing to do this. Belichick doesn't know what he's doing in personnel. But I also agree the blanket statements the other way. Like, they know what they're doing. They've won three championships, I think, is just as much of a blanket statement. Did they win three championships because they knew what they were doing, or did they win three championships because they had a team that was capable
of winning
three championships?
But it's not just that.
I mean, they inherited a good base of talent, and they won three titles by adding on to it.
And since then, they've been to two other Super Bowls.
But not quite as good as they were, right?
No, but it's hard to be that good every year.
I know, but have they...
No one does that.
Again, I don't really care about the other 31 teams if I'm Joe fan of my team. I don't care what the other teams are doing.
But you got to be realistic in your criticism.
Well, but I think it's a realistic criticism to say I don't feel like they've put the most talented team that they possibly could on the field all the time.
Well,
I don't. That's not a rant and a rave. I don't think anybody's cheap. Yeah. I don't think that Belichick doesn't know what he's doing.
Right.
I think that they wanted Logan Mankins on this team, but not for that value.
Right.
They want good players, but they might look at trading a draft pick for Richard Seymour for a first. That might have been a good trade for the long term, but it made the 2019 worse.
I think it's
but that happens everywhere.
I know it happens everywhere. I don't care about the other 31 teams. I only care about mine.
You have to be aware of the environment and the decisions that need to be made.
But I'm just telling you how I would react if I was strictly a fan, and I don't think that the people that act like that are completely out of bounds.
So are you pissed at the Bruins for trading Johnny Boychuk?
Yes.
Because it's the same thing.
That was a small market trade. That was a horrific trade.
But it's the same thing as the Patriots. They'd be better with Johnny Boychuk on the team.
That's a perfect analogy because for the Bruins, I am Joe fan.
Exactly.
Because I don't
work
for them.
That's my point.
And I am absolutely incensed over that trade.
But
I think that was a terrible, terrible trade because it hurt your chances to win the Stanley Cup
this
2015.
Correct. But see, I'm Mr. Homer, okay? I was upset when they didn't go after Abraham. I was upset when they,
I know you were.
When they didn't take Emmanuel Sanders. But, you know, they probably have these reasons for doing it, and I give them the benefit of the doubt because of their track record.
And that's
fine.
And Fred,
the next
day
he was fine.
But I know I get made fun of for saying this, but I actually agree with you, and it's part of my, it'll work out. They'll still be good because he's an exceptional coach,
right?
And they've had an exceptional quarterback. Now, hopefully Brady will continue to be an exceptional quarterback, okay? But that, to me, is why it's worked out, not because you've made these decisions. I think they've made bad decisions.
Yes. Yes.
That's how, but it's not a blanket statement. They don't know what they're doing.
But that's
what did I call Belichick that you still make fun of me about? A very, very good drafter.
Well, that was ridiculous.
Now, he had a stretch there where he wasn't a very, very good drafter, but I still had faith that they knew what they were doing and they were always going to be good.
Is that stretch over?
Richard Minnesota writes,
like the steroid era. Is it over?
It looks like Bill only plans to use Revis in man coverage when the opposing team has a high caliber receiver. He used him to cover A.J. Green this week and Cordarrelle Patterson in week two.
No, he didn't.
He didn't do that.
He did the top receiver, Greg
Jennings. He's been spewing it for about 5 weeks.
He hasn't, you know, what did he say today on the conference call, Andy? You read the conference call transcript with Buffalo?
Yeah, the Buffalo one. He was disputing that that was a big change last week and that
he says he's done a lot of man and zone.
Both considered the explosive playmaker on their team and one of the best in the NFL. However, in Miami, their best receiver was Mike Wallace.
Because, the whole point of his email fell out when he thought Patterson was the matchup.
All right.
Not Peterson. Patterson.
It was Jennings.
And by the way, he spent a lot of time with Mike Wallace in week one. Gave up a lot of plays to Mike. I mean, a lot of opportunities.
Yeah, it's a combination.
You know, right.
I think last week wasn't it the first week where really he...
Yes, I think last week
Belichick
was,
says no, but
yeah,
I think yes.
Yeah, the film says otherwise.
Well, he wasn't going to give that to the Buffalo media.
That makes no sense. You know who gave it to the Buffalo media? The film.
The film?
Yeah. You watch the film. It's clear as day.
Eye in the sky, don't lie.
Well, it could have been that A.J. Green was just in his zone a lot.
He went to his side
I'm
of the field.
I'm only kidding.
See, that's the change to me that took place was that Revis started going to the right side of the field when the receiver lined up on the right side of the field.
We can't do that anymore. Browner's back.
That's true.
He don't switch no sides.
Yeah, but Fred's right. We don't want him on a or Paul, you said we don't want him on any receivers, so...
No,
we'll Andy, be on the right
he's mocking me.
Andy says it's a bad matchup when he's
you
on a wide receiver.
You don't think Sammy Watkins is a quick, fast guy that will bitch slap Brandon Browner?
But he's got good size, too, so
yes.
If you can't cover him.
No.
Who?
He has certain, Brandon Marshall.
Brandon
Marshall.
That's a good
Brandon
matchup
Marshall.
For him?
I think that's a good matchup for
I don't
Brandon
think
Browner.
That's a good matchup.
Brandon
for him.
On Brandon.
Maybe Jeffrey.
No, I think Brandon Marshall would be a better one. I don't think Brandon Marshall's all that quick.
I think he'll kill him.
Well, he might, because I happen to think that Browner stunk all summer.
Well, I do, too.
So he may just stink. And that doesn't mean it's a matchup problem. It means he stinks.
It means it's a talent problem.
Right.
What's the matter, Fred?
No, just nothing. Just reading this email. Jonas from
you
Germany.
You want to share it with the rest of the class?
Jonas from Germany writes in two quick questions. As a second-year football player and first-year listener from Germany, so much about PFW, not international. I really want to know what you
was
guys think about Sebastian Vollmer and O-line. So far, they seem to improve not as quick as they should, even though O-line was pretty good last game. And what is Logan Mankins doing? Never heard something about him after the trade.
I don't know.
He got hurt a little bit.
But he's
back.
He hasn't really missed any time.
He hasn't missed any time.
I think he had a bad penalty last week that hurt him.
Oh, really?
I read that on Twitter.
Yeah. So, O-line.
The O-line was better last week.
And
you guys think
Bowman.
This is the starting five and just roll with it and you're going to plow right through? Because you got the second,
it was a complete mirage.
Second coming of John Hanna at right guard.
Andy thinks it was a mirage and they're going to get killed this week by a very good defensive front in Buffalo.
Yeah, maybe they will. I'm not sure killed, but I'm concerned.
We talked about that earlier.
And
but I would
Ryan
like them to, I would like them to pick five and stick with the five.
Me too.
Provided just, that they're not injured or whatever, you know, but.
I want Wendell out.
And who in?
Fleming?
Sure. Whoever you think the best is, as long as it's not Devy.
But they, you don't want whoever they think is the best because when they put a guy in that you don't think is good, he's not one of the best.
Like Marcus Cannon, I don't think he's one of the best, but they seem to like him.
I would be okay with them saying Cannon is going to be the guy and he's going to develop.
I would not be happy with that.
Because you think he's
Devy,
better than Wendell.
I would not be okay with. Wendell, I'm not okay with. Klein, I'm okay with.
They don't seem to be okay with him anymore.
They used to be, and then they stopped.
I didn't like what I saw of Klein this summer, but I liked him more than what I saw of Devy this summer, and they decided Devy was the
hell,
leader.
Hell, sign John Alapio off the Boston Brawlers.
Chris with the TIAN.
No, he's playing with the Boston Brawlers.
We're talking about they have their first game either like tonight or this weekend. It's that what is it called, Fred? XPFL or PX?
Yeah.
You didn't know that, Paul?
No.
Boston Brawlers?
No, I never heard that
Windows
name.
XP.
Never heard of them.
You didn't know about the Boston Brawlers either?
No.
They're one of four teams in that league.
Yeah,
are you playing?
Four team
league.
Yeah.
Are you playing?
I guess everybody makes the playoffs, right?
Yeah.
Probably.
Did you try out?
Did you try out for that?
No.
No?
Why not?
Why not?
Why would I try out? What is
because you think, still think you can
much.
Play football?
No, I don't.
That was your,
I wouldn't like want a, to.
Who's
I heard
the guy with
season?
The tiny arms.
He can bench a lot because he has short arms.
Does 100 push-ups in 30 seconds. Not a real push-up.
Yeah, he lost to his boss in three sports. And we're going to put him at linebacker?
The guy's got the catch radius of a fly. What the hell's going on?
Oh, I would not be a pass catcher. Never my forte.
He'd wear 46 in honor of James Devlin. He'd have a neck roll.
Right. He'd have that towel on his head.
Well, I don't know about that. He's always.
Plus, that seems mildly offensive.
No, I mean, you want to get the steam, like Jimmy.
I don't know why he needs a towel to get steam.
I don't need it, but it's his thing.
Like, what? Do you know that, Fred?
What's that?
Why does Jimmy Devlin, I know you've probably never seen
what's
it, but
that?
When he goes into the steam room or the hot, one of them, he puts a towel on his head, like in.
You like when women get out of the shower and they have like the hair all done up.
Or like he was like, going through the Mojave.
Yeah, maybe he's pretending he's in the Sahara. Or something.
But what? I don't get it. Why
French Foreign Legion.
Right.
It looks ridiculous. If I didn't love him, I'd mock it.
Yeah. I don't know.
Further proving your impartiality. No, that wasn't a drop by Gronk.
Christian with a TIAN writes in. We were talking about when the last time Belichick mentioned that he'd rather have no other quarterback than Brady. Apparently, Christian has a database, and he said the last time was August 5th of this year.
I'm calling BS. He's done it since.
Bits from CSNNE article via Phil Perry. Tom and I came in together the same year. Belichick said his rookie year was my first year with the Patriots. I feel like Tom and I do have a good relationship, and I have a lot of respect for Tom. No other quarterback I'd rather have quarterbacking our team than Tom Brady.
I'm calling BS.
I guess that's the best way I could sum it up.
BS. He's done it since.
Okay.
I thought I remembered one during the season, but you know, maybe it was preseason.
No.
August 5th?
Nope. Wrong.
I don't know why you have to be so argumentative.
I'm not. I'm just being factual.
Definitive.
Let's see. Tony says the problem with the caller Dan wanting more piranhas in the media is that the ones we already have, like Felgar, Giardi, and others, criticize without thinking or thinking through and never accepting that said criticism is anything but 100% correct. I could go on, but my email would rival War and Peace in length.
I don't think Dan was just talking to the media. I think he was talking about fans in general.
Right. I think it was more.
Yeah, and I certainly wouldn't put Giardi in the negative camp.
No,
Giardi
I wouldn't either.
Giardi asked a question about the quarterback needed to be evaluated. That wasn't like a negative question. I think it was
stupid.
Off base. I don't think it was something that would needed to be asked. But there wasn't a negative question. It was a bad performance by the quarterback to end a month of bad performances and wondering if, you know, his job was as secure as it always is.
And as I joked, it was a little like me asking if they need to get the ball to Jimmy Devlin more often. He's got a guy.
He does have a guy.
He's had mad, passionate sex with Jimmy Garoppolo.
Oh, my God. See, that's the kind of stuff That's when they say, you know, he's got to knock that off.
Do you remember that he was on the show? No, you weren't here, I think.
No, it was when I was on vacation.
And I said that to him, and he was okay with that. And then somebody asked about Curran in some emailer, and he clammed up. He had nothing to say.
Right.
So it's okay if you accuse him of having sex with the backup quarterback. Just don't ask about Curran.
Let's go to the Ace Ticket Hotline. Larry's in Miami. Hey, Larry.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hello, Larry.
Andy, you're crazy. But,
maybe.
Wanted to talk about, it was a great win. You know, I can't take that away from them, but it's something that I still haven't confidence in is that defensive line. We haven't had no pressure. Even if we don't get no sack, at least get pressure, what Bill liked to say, you know, like to get pressure. But even with the middling teams in the NFL, they have some type of pressure, even if it's not consistent, but some type of pressure.
Yeah, I mean, they
didn't get any pressure. I'm going to give them a little bit of slack for this particular week because Cincinnati hasn't really allowed any pressure. And they had, I mean, they had one late sack in the game, but they didn't get any pressure on.
Plus Jones, for whatever reason,
Chandler Jones barely played.
Yeah.
Well, he had a shoulder injury the week before.
Yeah. No, I don't think that the pressure, I'm just saying this week, that they haven't really had it. They had pressure in one game.
I will say though, that Wilfork probably had more push than he's had so far.
Not in the pass.
No, not in the pass.
Well, we're talking about pressure.
I know.
Yeah, it seems okay.
Larry's right about that.
It's I'm going to hold my judgment until after the Broncos game. And win or lose, I will feel that would be my barometer of what this team is going to do. Because I don't see any pressure, and we get the playoffs again like we usually do. And then it just leaves a bad taste in our mouth every year.
Yeah, it's sort of understandable. I talked about this with Fred to start the show. Chandler Jones is your top pass rusher. He was hurt last week. He's battling a little something. Your number two guy isn't playing well.
Nope.
Rob Ninkovich. And we've said, you know, they needed to upgrade there. And the guy they upgraded with that everybody assumed, the rookie with two ACLs, has been irrelevant. Dominic Easley, your first round pick.
Yeah.
So it's not strange. I don't think he plays here.
No, but that's just part of what I'm talking about is that was an area that Fred brought up John Abraham from a couple of years ago. That's an area that a lot of people thought needed to be upgraded. There were guys available like Jared Allen, and they didn't make the move. They went with Will Smith instead. He didn't make the team, and you're back to square one.
And even other
that's
guys.
That's one of those things that Dan and Hightower are talking about.
Has been hurt. Collins has been hurt a little bit. So you even had a few sort of the complimentary guys limited in some way.
Also didn't expect Jamie Collins to be playing so much inside.
They're misusing him.
Also didn't expect Chandler Jones to be playing 3-4 defensive end.
Getting so beat up he gets hurt doing it.
Even when they brought in someone like Will Smith, you were expecting him to be a 4-3 end, to be in a rotation with Jones and Ninkovich. You weren't expecting what we've been seeing.
I did, but I didn't see anything from him.
I'm saying like if he had shown something, that's what you would have been expecting.
No, is he even in the league?
No,
did he get picked up?
No. But he's also coming off an ACL.
But that's part of it. Yeah. That's why we got him.
Oh, I know. We were collecting ACLs. or lack thereof.
See, I just feel like that.
They get confused because they're told, well, you have a need, and they just hear knee, and they just start picking up these guys with bad knees.
It's so stupid. It's funny.
I don't know. Garland writes in.
I don't know.
Judy?
So everyone has been saying Easley has been playing patty cake and not penetrating.
I think that's just me.
Could this be what Bill is asking him to do? I have to admit, I've been a little disappointed so far.
Yes, Bill actually wants him to just karaoke up and down the line from left to right.
Is he, though, learning the two-gap techniques?
I don't know.
Well, the other guys seem to be penetrating. You mentioned Vince.
You know, two-gap doesn't really hold true when it's a passing situation. As soon as a quarterback drops back to pass, now you have a rush
that's
lane.
True.
You don't have two gaps.
That's true. Yeah.
I mean, I would, with him, I would also be a little bit patient because he didn't play much in the preseason in the training camp. And
he's barely a year removed from an ACL.
Yeah, so
now, don't think he'll get better this year. I do.
No. Well, it's a little different in terms of a guy coming off an injury like Gronkowski and Easley. But, no, I don't think they're going to feel great all of a sudden at the end of the year. And you know what? Now, their knee might feel great, but their bodies are not feeling great. This is not necessarily the same thing. That the knee will probably progress and get stronger, but at the same time, it's going to be 16 games worth of NFL wear and tear that are going to make the guy that's going to mitigate that improvement with the knee.
Right. No one's 100% healthy by the end of the season.
Correct.
Nobody.
Correct.
Even at Tufts football, nobody was. Right?
Correct. Even at Emerson.
We didn't have football. We didn't have a gym.
We wrestled in the classroom.
Almost. Toby from New York. First off, I want to say there's nothing funnier than Andy's bullying of Bertrand during the postgame show.
I don't bully him at all. He bullies me.
Well, I don't think so.
He bullies you?
Yeah.
I don't bully him.
Yeah, you do.
No, I don't.
Well, you annoy him.
I don't think he bullies him, but you certainly interrupt him every time he's like doing a read.
Yeah. Andy's not going to do that anymore as much.
Fred said no more humor on the postgame show.
Oh, wait, we can't.
I didn't say no more humor.
He said no more
humor. I said
humor.
A little bit more analysis, a little bit less hilarity.
No more humor. At least he admits it was
hilarity.
That's
not what I said. I just said tone it down a little bit.
Hilarity ensued.
I think a lot of fans want to talk about the game.
Yeah, this
and,
ought to go well.
You know, go over things. And
one of two things is going to happen.
Yeah.
Either he's going to pout in the corner and not talk
about
the show.
Right, right. That'll happen.
Yeah.
Or
well,
what's
Fred
the
told
other
me
thing?
I can't talk.
Or that.
He told me if I talk, I get fired.
Well, the whole show is going to be, I would have said.
Yeah. Right, right.
But I can't say that anymore because Fred won't let me.
Right. Now he's coughing up a lung.
Right.
Yeah. My God.
Yeah.
You're written like a tomato.
That was a little bit of an issue there.
Oh, my God. Andy's wearing a red shirt, and his face matches.
And I can feel the blood now draining back to the rest of my body.
Oh, my goodness.
I told you, I'm not over this yet.
Anyway.
What are the signs of Ebola?
I don't know, but that's like the...
Cough, headache?
You know, the Boston Globe version of that. You have to have the little diagram with all the injuries and stuff. The Ebola thing, every time they put it on the news, they have to show a dot.
Right,
like
that little
strand.
Yeah, I'm going to make a polo shirt with that.
They got to have the little strand there because now I'll know if I get it because I'll look and I'll say, that looks familiar.
I've got the string.
Wait, what? I don't even know what we're talking about.
Ebola strain.
Every time they put a story on the news about Ebola. Someone else has gotten Ebola. They put the strand up there.
You know, the little strand.
Under the microscope.
You know what it looks like. And it's like the little looping kind of.
Oh, okay.
You know.
I haven't really seen
the
it.
The disease.
I've kind of been avoiding this whole Ebola thing. I don't really know much
about it.
It's
good to avoid that. You don't want to do that as much
as you
can.
I've sort of been avoiding like the drama over it. I figure somebody will tell me when it's actually an
issue. Well, the Ebola one I do think is a little bit.
I'm not going to Africa.
It's a little bit of a
mutation. Yeah, but the guy
in Africa? Yeah, but it's in the U.S.
There is a case in the U.S.
Yeah, Nebraska.
But, oh, no, there's the guy in Texas. He died.
I thought they sent him to Nebraska.
No. That was another guy.
That was the guy from here.
The first guy in the U.S.
That was
in
the
Texas.
Doctor from here went to Nebraska.
And there's somebody from Rhode Island, too.
Correct.
A cameraman.
That's the guy in Nebraska.
I thought he was in Texas. You just said.
Oh, for the love of God. There's a different guy in Texas who died today. 42-year guy.
Okay.
Eric Duncan. Thomas.
Well,
Thomas Duncan. Died today.
Meant a lot to you.
The journalist has the Rhode Island connection, was in Nebraska.
Okay.
I thought the doctor.
So
why
how
Nebraska?
Many
in Nebraska? Today?
Well, that's where they have a center.
Really?
Yeah, it's like a infectious disease specialized center room treatment.
You would think you'd
they
want
normally
those
go
centers
to Atlanta.
Like, you know, where
that's where they
CDC, CDC right?
As close to the coast as possible, so get them there as soon as possible when they come in from overseas, not in the middle of the country.
And to get them out as soon as possible if they don't make it.
Right.
Flush them down the toilet. Wait, but how many cases?
I don't
in
know.
The US?
I think four.
I think.
I do think there's a little bit of media hysteria.
Well,
with
I don't know. I just
it's
feel like all
these
things.
It's not going to be an issue as long as we keep up our heightened awareness. If we let our guard down, then it can be an issue.
Yeah, but I don't have heightened awareness. That's what I'm asking about.
No, but we don't need
I don't mean
to.
Us. It's I mean,
the,
you know.
The proper
Where
the
is
protocols.
It coming from?
What?
West Africa.
Africa.
West
Africa.
West Africa.
Yeah.
Okay, so don't let anybody back from West Africa.
Well,
that's part of the discussion.
Right. Or at least.
Why is there a discussion?
At least if someone's coming from West Africa, there's better protocol to.
Test them. Is there a test?
Yeah, at the airport when or
yeah, that one guy
on
that was in the hospital in Texas or wherever he was.
Yeah,
they knew he had been there. Then they let him go home.
Yeah,
and then they're like, you know,
they're like,
maybe,
oh, yeah, maybe we shouldn't have done
that.
Yeah, and then by that point he had
now
made out with three women.
Yeah, no, right now they've quarantined like 20 people that he's come into contact just to make sure. But those are the kind of things that we can't let happen.
So don't let anybody come here from West Africa.
Well,
it seems simple.
I don't know if you can do that, but
why?
I don't know. It's just not. You can't just shut down.
Why?
Well, they can, but they have to have that discussion as to, is that really going to be feasible? And
yeah.
Donald Sutherland going to drop a bomb on some little small little town in California? Didn't you see Outbreak?
I didn't see that movie. No.
Really?
Yeah.
When the
they dropped a bomb on a town?
Well, they, like in the 60s, that's how they got rid of some strain.
Oh.
And they wanted to do it again in modern times, and Dustin Hoffman was the the voice of reason.
And they do those maps where it's like, bloop, there's a couple of them, and the whole country's covered.
Right.
From a monkey, the host.
Right.
A monkey.
You guys let me know when I need to really worry, when I need to go off the grid.
You sound like you're having a little trouble right now, though.
Anytime you want, just, you know, just let me know.
Just let me know.
Fred told me I'd be fired if I talked.
Well, I would have said, you know, just stop having sex with monkeys. Fred won't let me say that anymore.
Toby also says, about the game, great win, but I still didn't see anything from the wide receiver position. Now that we have Mankin's cap space, does it make any sense to go after a wide receiver like Andre Johnson or Vincent Jackson? Obviously, the Patriots have a good relationship with both the Texans and the Bucks.
Give us your players. Right. You know you want to.
Both those teams are playing better, the Bucks and the Texans.
Yeah, the Houston Texans are not giving up on anything.
I think the Texans are a playoff.
I don't think Billy O'Brien was...
Big game for them, though, this week.
They think they're a playoff.
Tomorrow night.
The Colts.
Yeah. Thursday night.
Thursday night football.
Where is that one?
Indy, I believe.
No chance.
Yeah.
Believe, right? What? Isn't it in Indy?
I don't know. I think it... No.
I don't know where the game is.
I'm trying to think.
I know they're playing tomorrow
night.
Who's
on top of who? I forget.
Right.
Because the bottom team is always
the home team. Right.
So. Okay. I'm visually trying to think. I can't remember. Paul in New York, I thought I heard that Mankins gave up a safety sack this weekend that helped the Saints pull out their win, and the Jets suck.
They did have a safety.
They did have a safety.
He was on the field for
that. How does a guard give up a safety sack, though?
If a guy beats him for a sack and it's
if
a safety.
A guy beat him for a
meaning
sack?
They got a safety on
a
the
safety.
Sack.
And they definitely, I mean, Glennon, Glennon got buried in the end zone. I actually thought that was Glennon's fault, but they might have beaten Mankins on that play.
Mike Glennon.
Well, it was actually not Glennon's fault. It was actually Lovie Smith's fault for having a seven-step drop in the end zone for, you know, Mike Glennon.
Matt from Rochester is wondering if I could get your thoughts on who you think they will have Browner cover on the Bills if he does indeed play. I wouldn't recommend Sammy Watkins. He is way too fast for Browner. But what about Woods?
Robert Woods, yeah.
Also your thoughts on the chance Brian Timms actually plays. I know he hasn't been a proven deep threat, but his speed, with his speed, I think he could eventually be the deep threat that Moss was at some point. I appreciate your opinion.
Why is he allowed to laugh?
And listen to PFW while at work, and it makes my day go by a lot faster. Thanks for everything, and keep up the good work.
I think there's a chance he's inactive this week.
Yeah, Tim. Mm. Yeah. There's no one from last week. There's no one from last week that I would make inactive for him, right?
Well,
I mean, Dobson seems to be on the edge.
Yeah.
I don't know how they think about Dobson.
Yeah.
Bill said he had a nice block.
He didn't play very much.
Bill said he had a nice block.
I saw it. I read the transcript. I chuckled.
Have it read back to you.
I chuckled at that.
How many snaps did he play? Six? Eight?
Maybe ten.
Christian says to me, Andy and Paul need more analysis on the postgame show with less joking around, but on PFW in Progress, Fred can rail against the Bengals coaches for running stairs inside Gillette Stadium during pregame. Nice to be the boss.
Hey, you were right, Fred. Rallied them.
That's right.
They were ticked off. Christian or?
Chris, with a T-I-A-N.
Okay, I need you to clarify from now on.
Okay. I think there's like three Christians.
I know, that's why I need you to
associated
clarify.
With this show.
If there were only one.
What's the Christian most closely associated?
That's with a T-I-N.
I'll learn how to speak someday.
No, there's a California Christian, I believe, and member
and
Chris
and a Danish
with a T-I-N.
Christian.
Yes, and a Danish Christian. And Chris with a T-I-N got mad because one of them said something like
actually,
stupid.
Aren't there two Christians in Denmark that are associated with this show?
A lot of Christians in Denmark.
I know, but associated with this show.
We're so big in Denmark.
We do seem to be big in the Scandinavian region.
Have you heard from Charlotta?
Have I?
Did you let her know when you're going to be on TV?
No,
Swedish
I didn't.
TV
I didn't.
Did you shoot her a link?
I didn't.
You're
I don't know what
to.
The link. I don't know. I didn't even know what station it
you
was.
You didn't
get
ask
their card
or anything?
Oh, come on, Eric. You need to prove you were on international television. That sets you aside from these two clowns.
Right, because I was on the BBC once.
Exactly. Now, BBC is always going to rank higher than
well,
some low-level Swedish meatball station, but...
Wait, why do you have to throw cast aspersions?
That's what they're known for.
They know
what did they ask you?
It's they wanted the kind to know about stuff we got to eliminate from the postgame show.
They wanted to know about Tom Brady. That basically, like, you know, what's made him good? Why is he so good all the time?
Talent. Next question.
I went with accuracy and decision making, the two things that Bill always
and
cites.
Drive.
No yeah,
one can chug
and
a beer like
and
Tom
competitiveness.
Brady.
Right. He's not the most athletic, the most physically gifted player that's ever played the position, but he has drive, he makes good decisions, and he's accurate with the football. And he's taken care of his body over the years, so he's been able to play this long.
Did you say it with an accent?
No.
Yeah, okay.
If I say it with an accent, it's not going to make them understand it anymore. But that was basically, they had like two or three questions about Tom Brady. They were doing a...
Why were they here?
To do a story about American football in general, but since they were here, they were focusing on Brady.
We have had, in less than 5 weeks, I believe, Germany, Denmark, and Mexico.
Yes.
Remember
we
had the Mexicans
the
hot chick?
Mm-hmm.
Tight pants?
Yeah.
Was not Inez Sanchez.
No, different...
Whatever her name is. I don't know why Paul looks
I thought there was another one. Was there a...
Japanese!
I was going to say China.
But... Chinese, Japanese.
Don't.
I said one of the two!
They're both Asian.
Yes. But yes, there was a crew from there.
Yeah.
So yeah, 5 weeks in, we've had Denmark, Germany, Mexico, and somewhere in the East.
Well, Sweden. Not
Sweden.
Denmark.
Yeah, Sweden. Isn't that kind of interesting?
I don't know.
Doesn't that
it is a little unusual.
I mean, Germany's fine.
This early in the season.
Yeah. And we have Vollmer. So Germany
makes
sense.
We always have Germany.
We don't have any Swedish players, do we?
Well, they're always fishing for a story.
See, that would never fly on the post-game show.
Fly fishing. And John Rook just...
Chad from Atlanta. I know this horse has been beaten to death, but I have a legitimate question that still baffles me. If every move that is made within this Patriots organization is allegedly made with the best interests for this football team in mind, then why did we use a second-round draft pick on a quarterback?
Nancy Kerrigan?
I mean, Bill always preaches we're going to do what's in the best interest of this football team. To me, this means one of three things. A, the coaches have seen something in Tom that would cause doubt or worry, so they saw a need in a QB sooner than later. Or B, Bill has no idea what he's doing in the draft. Seeing as how I am the biggest TB12 fan around, I don't see any cause for worry or doubt in him, nor did I last week. Mark my words, there's something fishy going on with the Garoppolo pick. Whenever Andy jokes about October 2015, I cringe because it gives me an uneasy feeling. Seems like Brady and Bill were being way too defensive with the questions of Brady continuing to play here. If there were no issues, I think they would have responded differently.
No, they ran out on the field, shaking each other's hands. They're fine. No, it's his birth certificate. You know he's getting older. He said it
when they drafted Garoppolo.
Right.
Yeah.
And when he says best interest of the team, it's short and long term. It's not just this week's game or this week's season.
Yeah.
It's overall best interest of the team.
And they like Garoppolo.
And
I really liked him.
If Garoppolo can play, it was certainly in the best interest of the team because you have your starting quarterback for the next decade, right? You've pulled your Andrew Luck.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know whether he can play or not. That's up to you. But if he's the guy you liked more than any other in this relative window here where you need to be looking, then go for it.
And a guy from, you know, Division I AA school probably needs a little extra time.
Right. Never had a playbook.
Yeah, so it's not like you're drafting, you know, a blue-chip recruit like Andrew Luck and putting him on ice for a couple years. You're doing this to a kid who he's not ready to play in the NFL, but he has the tools you think that could.
Giardi thinks he's ready.
Hmm.
Giardi does, yeah. All right.
What?
I just thought, you know, Giardi's on your mind here.
No, I just said Giardi thinks he's ready.
So whenever Jimmy Garoppolo comes up, the person most associated with Jimmy
Garoppolo is Mike Giardi, without question.
I mean, he's no close second. Do you remember
in
passing camp? Oh, look at that ball. Oh, look at that throw. You tell me he's not ready. Like that, he was just like moaning and groaning and drooling.
It's like when he cut it from 4 interceptions to 2 interceptions, he was telling you how much he improved in practice.
Sean in New Hampshire says the Patriots will attack the middle of the field against the Bills. They'll roll 31-12.
12. That's a funny score.
Yeah. 4 field goals?
Yeah.
They might. I don't know.
Okay. What do you think about attacking the middle of the field?
Well, when Spikes is on the field, I certainly will.
Because that's where we throw the ball, so I would expect us to do that.
All right. All right. Brett in the San Francisco Bay Area. Evidently, Browner had a tough summer. Did his play kick up more of a stink than Brian Stork's towel incident?
Oh. That's for you, Andy.
I'm not sure he had a tough summer if you ask everybody. If you ask PFW,
he was very aggressive, and I think that stood out. But then we all question... Is that aggressiveness going to fly with today's emphasis?
Well, see, no, I didn't even get into that. He's big and he's physical. Boom. He's big and he's physical. Fact.
Mm-hmm.
can he cover?
Right. He got beat.
He got beat a lot.
People were beating him off the line. And then he's lost his advantage. Now he's a run-of-the-mill, big, slow corner.
Yeah.
Once they're off the line, he's
I'd rather he be physical within those 5 yards at the line of scrimmage.
Beat the hell out of him.
That's his best hope of covering a guy.
Yeah, I mean, I thought the least of his problems in training camp were drawing flags.
Right.
Because I thought that in those joint practices, he had plays that he drew flags and was beaten on it for a 15-yard gain.
Yeah.
Even on a play that he was guilty of a hold or an illegal contact or whatever. I don't think he covered very well in the summer.
Yeah. That's bad because that's his job.
What?
That's bad.
You know, when he covered wide receivers, right, he struggled.
Yeah. Andy said
that's a bad matchup.
The guy I'm watching on SportsCenter commercial right now was trying to tell me he's like a number one corner. Browner, his former teammate, Richard Sherman.
Right.
I didn't see a guy who was a number three corner this summer.
He wasn't the number two corner on his team last year, according to the people in Seattle.
Right. Is it really healthy to eat beef jerky after you work out?
I can't imagine.
All that salt.
Yeah. Well, but salt is good for, like, when you do marathon, they tell you to add salt to your water because you're going to add it back
salt
into your
water.
System.
I thought that was because, you know, back in the day, they used to give us salt pills during, like, summer practices, you know, boot camp. And,
because you were sweating so much.
And then I heard
that
was, like, the worst thing. The coaches should have never done that.
No, I think you need to have sodium replenishment.
Yeah? All right.
That's part of what's in the energy drinks, right?
Yeah. Sodium, you lose sodium. That's why you have it on your
right. We'll need an expert. White. One of our listeners who's an expert. Tell us whether or not salt pills are still.
Whoa. I didn't say salt pills.
That's
I know
sodium.
Nothing.
That's what I'm talking about.
No, but I don't know anything about 50 years ago salt pills.
Well, it's getting close.
I was going to say, I didn't think was a joke.
Well, I'm 70 years old now or whatever.
You said you didn't play football in college, so you weren't 20.
Right.
Okay.
So 5 years.
So when you were 14, 15, 16, 17.
Yeah.
How old are you?
53.
Well, so it's close.
Yeah. 40, you know, whatever.
40 years ago.
40 years ago.
Sorry, I said 50. I rounded up. I didn't mean to offend you as a AARP
back in
guy.
The leather helmet days.
Well, you weren't that far removed from it.
Oh.
He has no clue. No clue.
Give me a rundown of, like, did you have girdles?
What
girdles.
Do you mean, did I have
girdles?
Girdles.
Oh, girdles.
I know you didn't have girdles. You had butt bumping with boys.
Yeah, sure.
In the shower.
No, we didn't have girdles.
I had
some people
had,
you know, the...
like, what's the most
hip
dramatic
pads.
Difference between today's equipment and what you had?
Did you wear hip pads or girdle pads?
Hip pads.
Did you have a water bucket? Yeah. Or did you have, like, Gatorade in a, like... I mean, was there the remember
a
Bill
water bucket
about,
with a ladle?
Yeah, there was metal no water bucket.
Okay, because
no
I think of that as old,
no disease
old school.
There.
Now back in
Bear Bryant.
Now there were some kids that had their own cleats, but most kids were given cleats by the team.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
And did you give them back in at the end of the year?
Yeah.
Oh wow! So you were wearing someone else's cleats?
Oh yeah, it was like bowling shoes. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
And they couldn't have fit.
Oh, they were terrible.
Yeah.
They were terrible.
The only thing that we did have was replacement cleats that you could get. But everybody had their own cleats.
Yeah, no one, like...
Well, they still have replacement cleats, right?
No, I assume.
That's how you do it. You change from this length and everything, except
right.
when you play
well,
in
we
Kansas
change.
City. You
we
don't change
the
and
length.
And some kids, not everyone, but we had the water
you went
helmets.
With what you had.
Remember the water helmets?
Man, we
did
were
you
thankful.
Have those?
Water helmets.
They were football helmets with water in them.
Yes.
Why?
That was the thing.
There was all kinds of different stuff. Those air ones, the bike helmets had the air
bladder.
Oh,
yeah.
Right.
They also had some that had water in the pads too.
Why?
I didn't
for cushioning. You mean like a water bed?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But you didn't really.
I never wore one of those.
No, they were not the fancy ones that you see like Justin Tuck, playing with or whatever.
Well,
but like the metal bars with the rubber around them.
Yeah. They were pretty much
there
the
were
same.
Fewer types
nobody
of
wore
face
visors
masks back then, though,
like,
right?
Right. No.
Yeah. There was your standard, like the two,
but
the
I'll
two
tell
bar,
you one thing
the
that
one bar.
Everyone did wear that you don't see anyone wearing now is the forearm pads.
Yeah.
Remember those?
A lot of people wore those.
Yeah, forearm pads and the hand
to
pad.
Deliver the shiver.
Oh, yeah. The Newmans, the padded Newmans, where you could punch somebody with those.
Yeah.
Right. A lot of people wore those.
How about your jerseys? Were they short and big hold?
No, they were pretty tight mesh,
I didn't have mesh. We had, regular cloth.
Oh,
they were
really?
Long, too.
Really?
Yeah. They wanted this, stay in the
pants. Yeah, you had the long tuck-in ones?
Well,
yeah.
They used to have the ones, too. Like, they would come down, you could button them underneath so they couldn't get pulled out. But they were really long. Yeah, but they were really long and they were kind of annoying. So we all cut them 1 week and they came back the next week. They were all hemmed. Huh. And sewed, and I remember the coach asked if we did that. I'm like, no, I must have ripped. Like, we all just cut them.
That's funny. Yeah.
Yeah, so. Like the linemen would sometimes, they would button them up. They went, like, underneath.
I never knew that existed.
There was now, were you a sock pulled up guy or socks down by your ankles?
You probably went, ankles. You went low, right? Yeah.
Oh, I was low.
I had high.
You had high. Yeah.
But now everybody's high, I think, pretty much.
Really?
Right?
They went back to that?
Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah.
Most uniforms have
sort of the uniform look, the way you, the NFL you
well,
do.
The
you
NFL,
find.
Yeah.
But I think most schools are doing that now, too.
Yeah. I hated – I always
good
had
uniform talk.
Roll down. You know.
How about baseball? Did you show your stirrups?
I remember baseball. I played Little League, but I never wore the stirrups until eighth grade.
Sanitary
and,
stockings?
I was in the locker room, and I didn't know how to put them on. Like, because there was a way that you would fold over your baseball pants into your well, they call them sanitary socks back then, and I didn't know how to do it, and they were making fun of me because I had no clue what.
What
I was
the
doing.
Purpose of them?
Of the, what, the stirrups?
Yeah,
I just think it's a look.
Yeah. It's just a uniform. Yeah.
It's decorative. It had no functional purpose.
No,
and
no.
You had the. Well, we had them originally, the ones that were like around your whole ankle. And then it opened up at the bottom, and then later came just the straight
full
stripe.
Color. Oh, a straight
stripe. Like, we started out.
We would cut those so they would be the straight stripe up the side.
Yeah, we started where it was like a, you know what I mean? It was only open sort of for the foot and the lower part,
right.
And then your whole calf was
right. Oh, yeah,
wrapped.
We'd stretch those out.
That's what we did. And I had the high stirrups in high school, but then when I went to college, you kind of wore them a little bit lower. Like, I would have my pants up at my knees in high school. So the whole stirrup would be like this.
Right.
And then in college, you sort of went mid-calf, not like all the way low like they do now.
Couldn't even tell you got them on.
But you could still see the stirrup, but you wore them a lot lower.
Okay.
But I liked the high stirrup better.
Now, at St. Paul's, Eric, did they have the full uniform? Or?
Did you beat people up that wore high stirrups?
We had those shirts that, like in the late 80s, it was popular to have like the mesh bottom. And then the top where the pads were was like a thicker material.
Had. Yeah, early on. That's
so you couldn't even tuck the shirt in.
Right.
It was it was cut down to like your
that was a big college look.
I liked it back in the early 70s or might even late 60s when like the Big Ten schools would have, Nebraska, Oklahoma, they have the rip-away shirts. By the end of the game, the running backs would be
all
like
torn
shreds.
Up.
The Oklahoma wishbone running backs would all have like no uniform at the end of the game.
I love that. That was
good stuff.
You know, when
good
Texas was beating him every week.
Right.
Okay.
Trying to get a rise out of Johnny's.
The show really petered out.
Well, you know. John Rooks here, getting ready for the playbook. Hey, John.
Hey, Fred. What were you trying to get a rise out of me for? I wasn't paying attention.
Paul was
I said
talking
the Oklahoma
about
wishbone running backs were running around Texas trying Texas
back in the 70s.
Trying to tackle them.
I think we did our fair share of running on them in the 70s.
Oh, sure.
I think there was a guy named Campbell that was kind of leading the way.
Yeah.
Just saying.
He was all right.
Yeah, it was okay.
He was no IM hip.
You remember him from Nebraska? Oh, he was a good running back. IM hip. One of the great all-time names.
That was a real name?
Yes.
I-M hip. H-I-P-P.
So it was initials? Or
yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
Ignatius
Maximus
something. Hip?
I don't know. Something
Maximus.
Like that. So I had to, you know, I had to sport the team colors today, Fred.
Yeah, there you go.
I had to sport
Texas colors on.
Even though I know we're going down and going down hard this week.
Oh, yeah, Stripper's sending an email. What was his prediction of blowout?
45-20.
Yeah.
Pain.
Mm. Prediction, pain.
And you're acknowledging that?
Unfortunately.
Especially coming off a loss for
Did you
Oklahoma?
Kick anybody off the team this week?
Actually, no, which is a good sign.
Well, speaking of college
football, I'm glad that Charlie Strong is cleaning house.
Who are the four teams right now? You know, that are
oh,
in
four
the
teams? Four?
Yeah, who
right
are
now?
The four teams?
Ooh. Florida State.
Auburn. Florida State, right?
Yep.
Florida State's
Auburn
there.
Auburn would probably be one.
Auburn would probably
Florida
be another.
Florida State.
I would go with
Ole Miss?
Maybe Baylor.
Maybe
I'd
Ole Miss
I'd have
now.
To go with Ole Miss.
Yeah.
Or Mississippi State, Ole Miss.
One or the other. Yeah. The winner of the Egg Bowl gets in. How's that? And then
Baylor, maybe? Is Baylor still undefeated?
I'll tell you what. The winner of the Baylor-TCU game this weekend. If
Arizona?
TCU beats Baylor in Waco.
Arizona's like undefeated 10, still, right?
But if TCU beats Baylor in Waco on the road, TCU belongs to get some mention there. So
we got a ways to go, though. It's early.
Yeah.
What's
going to
end up happening is a bunch of one-win teams. One-loss teams will be. Like, Alabama's not
I'm going to I will say this. I think a one-loss team definitely gets in the mix.
Oh, yeah, and they should. I mean, isn't that kind of the reasoning? Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not just, oh, there's only two teams left that are undefeated. Put them in it. Now you've got a couple that are really better but have a loss.
I agree. I agree.
Totally. Will there be controversy?
Obviously.
Absolutely.
Anytime you have a cutoff, if it's from 2 to 3, from 4 to 5.
But it's going to be, I think, the most watched college football postseason ever.
It's better to have a controversy
and
as
it's New Year's Day.
Yeah. Number 5 complaining that they're 4 than number 3 complaining that they're 2.
That's true. Mm.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think that there will definitely be more people watching and more controversy about it, but that's exactly what they want.
Exactly.
I'm one of those people, though, I was a proponent of the older system because I actually thought, you know, conference championships should mean something. And I hope that ultimately the committee will end up deciding that should mean something. When push comes to shove, when you're trying to decide between maybe a couple of one-loss teams and one of them won a championship and the other one didn't, I hope they take the champion.
Sure. Yeah.
Because the regular season has to have some meaning.
Right.
And that's my only concern right now. And if they do that and they do the job that we hope that they do, then you're right. This could probably be the best college postseason ever.
Yeah. And again, it's on New Year's Day.
Yeah. Which is back to the way it
tradition
should be, right?
Exactly.
Yes, I agree with
it's
you.
It's a holiday. I agree it's football. With you. It's yeah.
Yeah.
All right. We have to work, by the way.
We're not coming in that time.
College football today starts right now with John Rook.
Potty at my house.
And then the Bob Soucy show at 4 o'clock.
No, it's WTF Wednesday today.
WTF Wednesday.
Is that okay?
What's the focus?
I thought it was what the fall.
All right. So that's next.
Why the
Bob
face?
Soucy at 4. We'll see you tomorrow at noon.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.